B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
And let's get your Friday morning started right.
We got a weekend ahead of us. Finally. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Our friends from Bradford White Water Heaters take care of you in the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White is here for the pro. And we appreciate everybody getting up early with us. And those of you who are shaving or eating or streaming, watching on YouTube or Twitch.tv, those of you who get up early with us, we really appreciate you. And those already in your car, just be careful out there. Because there are accidents happening on the roads all the time. Sometimes coach witnesses them. And you got to be very, very careful. Make sure you've got it. Make sure you've got a good eye on things.
That's a tasty nugget right there.
It is a tasty nugget. We start the show today with this. The 76ers hit the road. Back-to-back games this weekend with Friday, Saturday at New Orleans and at Oklahoma City. Two teams, a collective 18 games under 500 and currently far out of true playoff contention in the West. Even though they're going to have that Fugazi 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9 playoff thing, which I have no idea why they're doing. That's garbage. The Pelicans, 14 and 13 at home. Thunder, a putrid 9 and 17 at home. So my guess is this. Because it's 2021 and we now absolutely put people in bubble wrap, the Sixers will play Joel Embiid tonight and then give him a maintenance night on Saturday. I'm not saying they can't win both games with Joel playing in just one. I'm just saying, again, that it bothers me that they have to. But no matter what I think, they need these wins. And if they let the top seed slip away due to load management in games against bad teams, I'm going to find it completely unacceptable. The hardest game of the three-game trip, Monday at Dallas. That's going to be tough. Giannis-less Bucks found out that the Mavericks can be a really tough team just last night. A 3-0 road trip would be, as Anthony Gargano would call it, a tasty item. But after this trip, here's the great news. When we wake up Tuesday morning, the 76ers play 11 of their 18 remaining games at home, and they play a lot of really bad teams. This is a critical weekend. Get it done, boys. No trip-ups. And that's where we begin this 6 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob, fresh off another hard night of work, a hard night of labor. And, this is a critical... Things are just starting to really open up for the Sixers team. And, Bob, this is a critical little stretch with the hardest game of a three-game trip being Monday.
Yes, and I'm going to make you a little bit happy right now, John Kincaid.
Are you? Let me see. I'm thinking. Wow.
I believe Joel Embiid will play all three games on this road trip.
Okay, that's going to make me happy.
I have no intel at all. I always go with my gut feelings on this, and we do the guessing game and all. I do. I think he's going to play tonight. I think he's going to play tomorrow night, and then he's going to play Monday night. I think it's a little stretch where they're like, here we go. We got to ramp it up a little bit. Let's see where you are. Let's see how you are. You can adjust, as you said, 11 of the last 18 at home, and you have some back-to-backs there. But, no, let's do this little test for you right here. I think he's going to go all three games.
Jamie, when we come in Monday, are we talking about Joel playing in both games?
I want to say yes.
After Bob says that, now I am excited.
Yeah,
that
Bob's got me a little short.
The Friday.
Yeah, I'll go with it.
I hope so.
You sound so confident.
I hope so.
Sure.
This is critical.
Well, I think, you know, it's ramp up for the playoffs time. And, you know, he's there. He's been rested now a month. He can't do any more damage to the knee, so let him play through it. He's got to stretch his arm out, you know?
Pat, are you expecting?
No. Not at all.
See, that's how my gut instinct was this morning, is that I'm not expecting it. But Bob, with that instinct there, I'm trusting that Bob sees up. Bob, why are you? You're saying because
feels
of the
it
ramp up?
Plums.
I don't know. And look, I'm not
this
saying
is the ramp
anything
up to
good
the
about myself. But Jamie will tell you my feelings on when he plays and when he doesn't usually are pretty decent, Jamie.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get the feeling that I kind of know what he wants and whether he can related to the team, whether to play or not. I think he's a go. I think he's a go tonight and tomorrow night. Maybe, well, you're going to have to see how tonight goes. If it's a 38-minute grinding game and all that stuff, okay. There it is. There's your built-in excuse. But I would say, and I would bet pretty confidently.
Wow.
That
I like this.
That their plan right now is to play him tonight and tomorrow night.
Now, it should not be a grind game tonight. I was getting the Pelicans scoop. Get the New Orleans Hornets in my head all the time. I was getting the scoop last night. And I wanted to read you a couple things, Jamie, because these are more directed towards you, from our friend Todd Graffini.
I'm not anti-Zion.
He said, I can't wait to see Zion push your puny defenders back 5 feet.
Wow.
He said, I might literally laugh out loud.
Well, he's broadcasting. He shouldn't.
But he says he might score 30. He might score 30. And,
he can do that every time he walks on the court.
But the Sixers, he clearly says, they're so beat up. But he thinks that Zion can still have a huge game, but it could mean nothing, potentially, because of the fact.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They're beat up.
Yeah.
They're beat up. They're young.
If they want to leave Lonzo in our locker room and disguise him as a Sixer, you know, for the rest of the year, I'm cool with that.
What would be the strategy? What are you drawing up on the whiteboard? Do you just say, Zion, get your points tonight?
I think that's what it is.
There's two ways to go about it. There is. And is it a case where Doc says, okay, let's look at this as a first-round playoff type of game where the other team that we're playing, called Atlanta with Trae Young or maybe Boston with Jason Tatum, let's look at Zion as the guy that we need to stop tonight in order to win, like a playoff game. So let's defensively do this. It could be that type of game.
Okay.
Or it could also be the type where Jamie says, like, look, they just don't have enough. Tobias, try to stay in front of him as much as you can. Don't get into foul trouble. Let's give him help where needed, Joel. He's going to get his, but let's do what we do defensively, and it should be enough to win.
That should be enough to win.
Yeah, you would think.
I don't expect a game versus the Pelicans or a game versus the Thunder. If I'm supposed to believe this team can win an NBA championship.
You don't sweat these two.
These are games that they could end up being closer than you think, but you should be able to get two victories.
Yeah, I haven't seen the spread for tonight yet, but I'll look that up. Zion's shooting nearly 63% from the field on two-pointers.
Oh, he has like 11 for 15 nights all the time.
Which, by the way, he is, and he's setting records.
Yeah. Well, you don't
for
want...
young player, for players at his point in his career.
Yeah. I'm not anti-Zion.
Well, no, you sound it.
I'm not anti-Zion.
Sixers are 7-point favorite. Like,
yes. No, I just...
He's setting records for being best ever at that.
If I was an NBA GM, I would build my team from the perimeter in, unless you have a chance at maybe a Zion or a Joel. Yeah, they're not good. And you don't want Ben and Joe getting in foul trouble.
Correct.
Versus a guy that physical. And Joe, sure, he can protect a rim, but you don't need him picking up three fouls in the first half type of thing.
So what you're telling me is Parks Casino Sportsbook app, I'm going overs on all the Zion stuff would be the most likely.
I would think that's probably a safe
Pat
bet.
Waits till like 2 minutes before games to wager, correct, Pat?
Yeah, usually.
So you'll wait.
I've had it before where I'm actually placing the wager and I get timed out.
Okay, this is tasty, though, because... if we wait on Zion numbers for tonight and we do figure that the Sixers are going to let Zion get his and then
deal with the rest.
The longer this day goes, this knowledge will have trickled out and the numbers will come down.
I think it's already out because people are watching YouTube and streaming and whatnot. So I think it's already, like, we just put it out there.
So we screwed it up.
We screwed up at 6:06 in the morning.
Man, we already screwed it up.
Check out Zion Williams' shot charts through the games.
it's like Ben Simmons, but effective.
Okay, that's where my next point is. My next point is, so last night, I was, after seeing stuff from Graf, I'm looking at Zion Williams' shot chart. And go look at Ben Simmons next to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, their offensive opportunities are coming from relatively the exact same neighborhood, and one guy who is 20 years old is incredibly freaking effective. And a guy who's been in the NBA, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah.
Can't figure it out offensively. I don't understand. Look at their shot charts. If you put them next to each other, if it was a split screen, these two players are getting the same offensive looks.
Oh, it's unbelievable. You know I'm a big shot chart guy. It's unbelievable, the comparison.
Well, Zion shoots with his proper hand. I mean, that's a good starting point.
All the people who excuse make about Ben Simmons' offensive game.
He's right-handed, and he shoots lefty.
It makes no freaking sense.
You can tell when he jumps off of different feet, he's awkward around the rim.
When you look at Zion's shot chart, and you look at Ben Simmons, and if you put them side by side, one guy has it figured out. So this is not something to me. This isn't something where one guy is just fundamentally doing things the right way and the other guy isn't.
There was a play in the Celtics game Tuesday night where Joel and Ben were running a little two-man game on the wing. And Joel set a pick and Ben cut across the lane, ended up drawing Taco Fall to him. Taco Fall didn't even leave the inner perimeter around the rim. Ben had a perfect opportunity for a 5 foot just little bunny.
And he passed it.
That any NBA player makes 100% of the time. He ended up passing it to Joel, who got fouled and made the free throws. And I think Ala even commented on it. He said, that's a shot you have to take.
He did. I know the exact play you're talking about.
And it drove me bonkers.
And by the way, here's what I will say. So then I go down the rabbit hole of, well, let me look at last year's shot chart. Let me look at the year before's shot chart. This has never gotten better. And anybody trying to tell me now, well, Ben's got a lot going on in his personal life. He maybe does, but it had no freaking thing to do with his offensive game the last few years. It's gotten me more saying this is bad on Ben's part. It's bad on Ben's part that this isn't better, that this is not better.
Well, in any aspect of any game you play, if you're not good at something, you want to look to improve, right? You know, whether you're a running back that fumbles a lot, you have to improve not fumbling or whatever it may be. If you're a hitter that can't hit a curveball. Yeah, he's not a good finisher, and that's physically. He's not a good finisher. Zion Williamson can get into the lane, but he explodes at the basket with this jumping and strength ability that is kind of unmatched in the league. Ben Simmons can get to the basket better than Zion Williamson.
Yes.
But he can't finish as well. Because he doesn't explode to the rim. I would do a full summer of Ben. When you go to the basket, I want your hand hitting the rim every time you shoot it.
Sixers Pelicans tonight on the Fanatic at 8:00. And if you wanted to just do a little analysis for yourself, and that's what I spent like 20 minutes doing last night, and then I'm looking at 2020 Ben, 2019 Ben.
It's the same issue. Sixers are 7.5-point favorites tonight.
Good news. Pat, were you looking at...
Might have to hit that right now.
Yeah, you might want to get in on that one. I would suggest...
I think the Zion over is probably a safe bet.
I will be all in on that. At the commercial break, of course. Now, remember, too, is that the Phillies open up a series tonight against the Atlanta Braves. The second week of the season begins... And so it was a beautiful first week. Absolutely beautiful.
Perfect.
5-1 is incredible. That's an incredible
Welcome to the party.
Absolutely. Now, the question is, can you go and you win 2 out of 3? Can you take 2 out of 3 this weekend? Because that would be a huge statement.
Yeah.
And if you follow up that week with the 2 and 3 this weekend, it'd be great.
And the key is tonight, in my mind, if Zach Wheeler can go out there and give you an outing that says, wow, all right, we got something going here. And then you have Eflin going, and you hope, you know, maybe he can carry some of. But if Wheeler shows you something tonight and you get some hits offensively and Hoskins maybe gets you a hit or two and you're thinking, wow, this isn't a fluke. I just, the mental aspect of baseball is really big with me. I think that might carry them through to what we talked about, being a 10-3, 9-4, 8-5 start.
And don't forget, the closer, Matt Moore, is coming in game 3. So,
by the way, Aaron is a huge fan of the show already. He says he's become a convert.
Nola?
No, this is another Aaron. Yeah. And he says, though, he attacked me yesterday for being a wimp in one of my takes.
Ooh, I like that. Wimp.
He said, John, I'm very disappointed in you, though. He said, you said you're actually hoping for a 3-4 week on a road trip. He said, shouldn't your minimal expectation be 4-3 on a road trip? I'm saying this, over the course of a season, I'm hoping my team can play roughly .500 on the road. So I'm trying to get 41-40 would be my hope for the road for a team. So maybe I should have said 4-3, but if they go 3-4 and they're 8-5 after the first 2 weeks and they're 8-5 in the division and they win 3 out of 4 series, maybe Maybe when they win 3 out of 4 series to start the year in the division, I'm all in. I mean,
you know what's weird for me?
I think people are getting greedy.
Probably.
That's what I told him. I said, I think you're getting greedy based on the first week.
8-5 would be, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah.
But I want to withhold judgment until we see the Marlins. Isn't that weird?
Yes, because this team craps the bed against the Marlins. Yeah.
Wow. Like, it's great.
They do.
But they play up to teams every like the Braves year. Every year, and then they play down to teams like the Marlins.
I heard Anthony yesterday. They were asking people on Cuz Radio, are you, like, confident that, could it be the Phillies and the Sixers winning a championship? I'm like, the Phillies, if you had asked that question before opening day, could the Phillies win a championship? It would have been 0.00% in this town.
Yes.
Now they're 5-1, and people are calling sports radio going, yeah, I think the Phillies can win a World Series this year.
161-1.
Oh, my gosh.
It's still on the table.
It's considerably stupid.
But if they lose 2 or 3 of the Marlins,
then it's all over. Yeah, it's all over.
They have the best bullpen in baseball. They have the best number 2 hitter in baseball. This is what a 5-1 start
does. This is what 5-1 does to you. It gets you all excited, which is really, really good.
Which is fine.
Look, I'm all for the excitement.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm all for a slight realism. I like a good boner.
Like a good steak, if you want to put a little salt and pepper on it, just put a little reality on it, though. You have to look at 5-1 and just put a little bit of reality on it
salt
before.
Food, so now I'm really.
Oh, really?
No.
I love sea salt. Oh,
I do not put salt on. I've prepared food. I've prepared steak for the grill with salt.
Sure, you have to. It gives it the nice char.
But I do not put the salt shaker on.
No, I rarely put salt on food.
Just in prep.
I stop.
Corn.
Corn.
Corn on the cob. Butter,
and
salt.
And corn on the cob.
Pepper.
Corn and tomato. Oh, with
tomatoes
salt.
Are the grossest thing ever in the history of the world. I don't know how you can eat them.
Oh, my God. They're so good.
Do you put salt in the tin foil if you put corn on the grill?
I just grill it in a husk.
I know people who do that. I know people who put the butter... and some pepper and salt.
I'm not opposed to that.
And then they put it in the tinfoil before they put it on the grill.
I just throw the husk right on.
You put the husk right on?
Correct. I've done that before. And then butter and salt it when it's out.
Butter and salt it when it's off.
Yeah. Yeah.
I put salt in everything.
You really do?
Doesn't everything.
Surprise me. It bounces out all the sugar you eat.
Yeah.
So you salt everything.
It's a bigger deal if I don't put salt on something.
Oh, man.
I love salt.
But the thing is, I love... No. I love salt, but I don't add salt.
Oh.
Like, I love salty. I'll take chips. If someone said to me, you want a bag of chips or do you want a candy bar? I would choose a bag of chips every time. Something salty.
There are a few things that can ruin a meal more than too much salt. You know, if you get a meal or maybe a bowl of soup, or you get something that's like, oh my God, this is so salty. To me, that is such a turnoff.
By the way, did the Welcome Home dining tour last night? Went to Pika's.
Oh,
a legendary spot.
That place is
it's a legendary
tasty item
in Upper Darby.
It slaps, as the kids
say. And so Joan was our waitress. She's a sweet lady.
What's up, Joan?
She came over, and Joan's been there a long time. I bet.
Yeah,
she's you know.
Did
and
she call you hun?
No, she. Well, she does, but she said, "Are you related to David Murphy?" From Channel 6.
He said, yes, I am.
Wow. She asked me if I was related to David Murphy.
And if it gets me a free pizza, I am.
I said, no, I'm not. Yeah. I said, no, I'm not. And I didn't introduce myself there. But she said, so Ed, who I'm having dinner with, she introduced herself as Joan. So he wanted something in follow-up like this. And she goes, just call me Joan. Pay attention.
Wow.
I like that.
Just call me Joan. Pay attention.
Why? Did he say, excuse me, miss, or something like that?
Excuse me, miss. Could I have being very polite. He was very polite, and he's asking for, like, another Diet Coke or something. And he says, like, excuse me, miss. And she goes,
you work for me, bitch.
Just call me Joan. Pay attention.
That's funny.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeesh, you got smacked down, dude.
Yeah. My Uncle Dick, every time we go out to eat, he will ask the waiter or waitress their name and then...
Well, she gave us her name when she...
Dad wasn't paying attention.
And I always pay attention to that.
I do, too, because it's easier to say their name than...
Oh, yeah.
Like the wave down.
Oh, no question. And I'll even say, if she comes over and says, hi, I'm Joan, I say, hey, I'm Bob.
Hey. I never give my name, usually. But,
no,
hey, 30% of ID theft victims suffer multiple types of identity theft. You can get LifeLock, which saves you up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com using promo code RISK. In Cooney's Corner, we get to a much more disgusting story.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
I kept this short, Bob, for a reason.
Yeah.
This team aggravates the hell out of me.
Nice comeback last night after getting down 2-0 early. I got a phone call.
I'm so tired of that.
I got a phone call at like 7:17 last night. I'm driving home, and my buddy Rock calls. He goes, all he says, I'm like, yo, he says, this team sucks. They're down 2-0 already. The game just started. I can't stand it. They play soft, and he goes on and on. I get home. I don't really turn it on right away. When I do, it was 2-2. So I thought, okay, decent comeback, losing a shootout, whatever. The toe tag is ready, and you're rightfully going to place it on there. What do you do? What do you do with this team? And I don't say that. I'm honestly asking you. Chuck Fletcher has big decisions to make. You're going to have to tear down some of the roster, and it's probably going to be some popular names like a Jake Voracek, maybe a Van Riemsdyk, maybe even the captain. You have some younger players that are supposed to be decent. What do you do, John? Like, what should be the game plan for Chuck Fletcher going into this offseason?
You got to move people because the DNA of this team is terrible. This team has a
people or
slumped
person?
Shoulder. The personalities in the room together, it's a terrible mix.
So you're
By the way, I've never been in that room.
Yeah.
But I can tell you from watching them all year long, it is a team that lacks confidence. It's a team that lacks swagger. It's a team that lacks any kind of physicality with any kind of purpose.
You absolutely are going to be sellers. You didn't mention the one guy who's probably going to be their biggest trade piece. That's Scott Laughton. Scott Laughton will fetch them a lot because he's on the last year of his deal, and every contender is looking for a guy like Scott Laughton. He can probably grab a second and plus picks.
But the only thing is that he's walking away.
Yeah, but they haven't signed him to a deal, so you risk just letting him walk.
Right.
You can't do that.
You know, Voracek's contract's huge, so is Giroux's.
This team is so...
So we're talking about players real quick, John. What about the coach? He's okay?
I'm really disappointed. I got to tell you, I'm very disappointed in Alain Vigneault.
Flyers go through coaches.
They do. But this is a bad job. I'm going to tell you, I'd run the general manager before I ran the coach.
Okay.
I'd run the general manager
before
I ran the coach.
I love AV, and I would love to see him be here longer.
All I would say to you is that Justin Quickley is Chuck Fletcher. It's not a great resume.
What do you do
It's not
here?
A great resume in his entire NHL career. Yeah, it's not.
Zamboner Nation is flaccid, yeah, John.
What would you say
it's bad.
You do here?
It's not good. It's not good. Flaccid. See, they are so... They're, and by the way, can we do one thing in the offseason, too? Can we get rid of... that Flyers jingle. It's so freaking annoying, and they play it 50 times.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, then you don't watch Flyers on TV.
I listen to them every freaking time.
Well, I put it on to last night, which is good. I put it on the Alexa.
They don't sugarcoat anything.
No, they don't. It's a much different broadcast. There are a lot of things that can change quickly in the NBA. We'll get to it next on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Is there a better time right now to be a sports fan? I mean, you've got basketball, you've got baseball, you've got hockey, and you've got the Masters. And if you like things like horse racing and NASCAR and cricket and all that, guess what? It's all available on the BetMGM app. So there really isn't a better time to hop on there and do what I've been doing, bet with confidence with BetMGM. And if you're new, well, I got to... tasty item for you, all right? Hop on over there and use code PATEGAN600, and your first wager is absolutely risk-free, up to $600. Once again, though, you have to use the bonus code PATEGAN600 to do so. So let's say you want to hop in for the Masters. Well, right now you can do that risk-free, up to $600. This is a new customer offer, though, and it's paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You have to be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, BetMGM Sports, in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Hope your Friday is going to be fantastic. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Those of you streaming, we see you out there. Keep that stream going all day long. Take that radio with you right there in your phone. It's an amazing technology. Make sure that those of you on YouTube and Twitch.tv, and you realize when we hear you talk, when we talk about YouTube with you, you can go back later on today and watch things again on YouTube if you miss something. I know that's how Doc himself, my brother, does it.
That's a great way to start your weekend. Go back and watch us on.
You'll watch us. If you miss some of the show, watch us as often as possible. We really wish that people would do that.
Absolutely.
We love it. We love it when they do. I'm not going to, Bob, all the work you've been doing, all the labor you've been doing, it's been exhausting me watching you.
Why?
Because it seems like it's really, you're doing backbreaking labor.
No, the guys that are there doing the backbreaking labor, the guys that I brought up the other day.
I know, painting is not easy.
Well, you know, it's easy if Coach would leave me alone with the text messages.
Seriously,
all day long.
Coach.
I mean, I'm trying to get some work done, and my phone keeps buzzing, and Coach is like, come on, Cooney, what are you doing? You know, 3 hours before we're supposed to hand something in, he's begging for it, so I had to give him a little bit of a message yesterday.
You did. You a little aggressive message. Jamie, would you say very aggressive?
I thought
it was fair.
Coach said, why don't you paint your show prep on the wall, take a picture of it,
line.
Send it to
Can
me.
Can we post
yes,
that?
He did.
Bob did.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Let's say it was
I wasn't happy with you.
It was FU. Which I thought was brilliant.
What color was that?
Is that
one is an iceberg blast.
Ooh.
I believe.
I like
that's
that Gatorade.
Like a gray. It's like a gray,
know.
Right?
It's like an off-white grayish type of thing.
Ooh,
yeah.
By
I was
way,
in the master bedroom yesterday.
You brought up that. So one of the guys works our building. He's coming by yesterday. He has the green and yellow Gatorade.
Did you ask him what he thought it was?
No, he heard the conversation. He comes right up to me and he goes, this sheesh is green.
So, really?
He held it. And he goes like this. No, he held it to me.
I'm shocked so many people see green.
He goes, and he was having it and he had like half of it left. And he goes, this sheesh is green. Look at this. It's not yellow. And we went over to a yellow wall. He goes, this is yellow. This is a wall. This is the Gatorade. And you held a message.
He makes a fine point.
He said, this sheesh is green. He didn't say sheesh.
I've
because
shifted.
Out on.
Yeah, you're green now.
I've shifted. Yeah, my whole life I said, give me the yellow Gatorade. Now
it's
like,
green.
It's kind of green.
When you got your shot, when you got your vaccination, did they make you sit for 15 minutes?
No.
Yeah. Afterwards?
You didn't have to. You did.
Yeah, both of them.
I got right in the car.
So you got right in the car?
Yeah. I was in and out in 15 minutes.
Coach, do they make you sit
15
for
please.
15 minutes?
Maybe.
Three
do they
times.
Make you sit? Bob, you did have to.
Yes, they made you sit for 12 to 15 minutes.
Was that so you don't have a reaction?
You had to sit.
Yeah, mine was probably 10 minutes.
I was in the middle of a CVS.
That's where I was.
So I got mine yesterday. They had chairs set up in the CVS. And I swear it looked like either story time at the library or a, you know, sort of like, you know, like nursery school.
Oh, it's story time.
And they got clocks on the chairs. Like little timers.
Really?
That were set the timer. And the lady saying, set the timer.
Oh, the technology.
So I sat down on one chair and I didn't want to sit because there was a lady standing. So there's a lady standing and I'm like, I will stand. No. You need to sit. And I'm like, I'm fine. So this lady's standing and I said, I'm not going to stand when the lady's sitting. When the lady is standing, please sit down. And the lady who was running the thing was going to throw me out of the CVS. I said, she says, you can't do that, sir. And I said, I'm not going to sit when a lady is standing. And I got a little agitated with her. I said, I am not going to sit when a lady, and the lady's older than me. And I'm saying, sit down.
I had the same thing happen to me yesterday.
You did?
Yeah, I went to the eye doctors and they have a similar setup where like with the chairs. So
right.
Sort of thing. Woman comes in and I, the person at the front desk gave me the paperwork, so I had to get up, get the paperwork.
Sure.
At this point, the woman that just walked in was going to sit down in the seat that I was in, and she went, oh, no, you can have it. And I go, no, you take it.
Yes.
And we got into a fight about who was taking the seat. No one took the seat.
Really? She wouldn't take the seat?
It was a standoff.
She won it. It was
a
standoff.
Yeah, it was a standoff.
Have you been on public transportation lately? The amount of dudes, and by the way.
That always annoyed me.
Lazy ass dudes. And I'll call it, who are sitting with their heads in their phones while old ladies are standing. while older women are standing.
I used to take the 57 bus.
How about this? While any woman is standing, and you're sitting there, and you're an able-bodied male, and you're head first in your phone or your music, and you're taking up a seat, and there's ladies standing, you are the worst among us males.
Wow.
You are the worst.
That was aggressive today.
To me, no, that's terrible. I think, Bob, I think that's terrible.
So do I.
Bob, why are you a fan of that, Bob?
He's not.
Women are equal to us. Just let them.
Yeah, I heard. Well, man, I heard Bob.
No. Well.
I'll go.
No. Well, if they want equality everywhere, right?
No, I'm not getting into
that. That's not true.
Honestly, God, in the times that I would take, you know, subways in New York when I would go to Sixers games or whatever, I would get on a subway knowing it's going to get full, but it wasn't yet. And I would probably stand most of the time anyway, just so people, when they would come on, would have the extra place to sit.
I heard Bob say, and I quote, Susan B. Anthony fought for their equality. They can stand.
hey, natural lawn of America is safer for your lawn, your kids, and your pets. Schedule their full service program and get free seating every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. It's natural lawn of America with greener grass and fewer weeds guaranteed. In the linchpin. Boy, things change quickly in the NBA.
This is the linchpin.
It was just half year ago where the Boston Celtics swept the Sixers in the bubble. Jason Tatum was emerging as an NBA superstar. He's still a very good player. I'm not putting him down.
Really, really good.
Just like I didn't put down Zion. But that's okay.
Sure you did.
They swept the Sixers. And here in Philadelphia, we're going, is this going to work? Is Tobias had a bad playoff. Is this going to work? Is Joel Embiid ever going to be healthy? Ben Simmons was hurt. Is Tobias the right fit here? Yada, yada, yada. Fast forward 6 months later, Daryl Morey and Elton Brand put together some great moves in Danny Green and Seth Curry and Dwight Howard. And the Boston Celtics just lost the season series to the Sixers for, I believe, the third time ever in the history.
Sweep.
Regular season sweep. And I couldn't help myself. I got on Celtics Twitter the other night. WEEI up in Boston had a story on their website. Is it time to blow up the Celtics? Celtics Twitter was losing their mind. There's talk up there of Brad Stevens getting fired. I don't think it's legitimate talk, but it's fan talk. It's amazing how quickly things can change in the NBA. You know, just 6 months ago, the Celtics were the envy of a lot of teams. Now they're talking about blowing it up, and the Sixers' slow but steady ascension is looking brilliant in hindsight. The Celtics lost a Gordon Hayward, a Kemba Walker injury, and it looks like they're destined for nothing right now.
Well, the Sixers sort of semi-blew it up last offseason.
It's
a wholesale.
But they didn't touch any core pieces.
When you change general manager and coach, that's a semi-blow up.
Yeah, sure.
That's a semi-blow up. And they fixed things.
They did.
They fixed a lot of things. Brad Stevens would be unemployed for 10 minutes.
Oh, absolutely.
People would be fat. I hope Brad Stevens exits Boston. I hope this.
They don't deserve it.
I don't believe it's just fan talk. Bob, we talked about the other morning. I think we talked about this in passing. Brad Stevens, I think he's coming to an end in Boston. I really do.
He doesn't look happy.
He never looks happy, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't recognize that Boston team the other night. And you can take away players. As Jamie said, Kemba Walker was out for a while with an injury. Jason Tatum was battling COVID earlier this year. But the Celtics under Brad Stevens, and he's been there a while, have always been a team that no matter what, you look at and you say, God, they're good. I brought this example up before, John, and it was when Brett Brown was here. I was at a preseason game, Sixers-Boston up in Boston, and Boston had like a third-string team out. But they were running sets that were really neat to see, and you could see Brad Stevens' thumbprint all over the team where it was like, all right, here's the sets that we run. I don't care if you're first or third string. You run them properly, and this is what we'll get. I saw nothing of that when the Sixers beat Boston the other night. They looked out of sync, out of character. And the players looked, to me, a little tuned out and disinterested. Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to see Brad Stevens out of Boston?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's one of the better coaches in the NBA. That I didn't know how it would translate from going from Butler to the NBA. But it looks like his time just kind of worn out.
He's out there almost 9 years now. Is that how long it's been?
It was
2013.
I'm going to raise my hand. Hot take alert.
Wait,
I might have a mild take after
warning.
You.
This is a hot take alert.
Go ahead.
I thought that Brad Stevens was going to be a complete bust.
Oh, is that right?
From Butler. That was my opinion at the time. Sure. I said, this guy, NBA players aren't listening to this dude. They're not going to listen to this guy. Couldn't have been more wrong. Couldn't have been more
wrong. I mean, Pat just said he's a top coach in the NBA.
I think he is. I think he's top.
Is he? Is he a top five coach? Because I don't know he is.
Spoelstra?
I think he is.
Spoelstra?
Quinn Snyder.
Quinn Snyder now.
Well, I'll tell you what.
This year, maybe?
You're saying Quinn Snyder, definitely. I'm saying Brad Stevens is even over Quinn Snyder because he's done it longer.
Yeah, much better resume, Brad Stevens, than Quinn Snyder. Quinn Snyder has not even a complete year of being a great coach. Brad Stevens has much more resume.
Where am I taking Quinn Snyder? He's gotten more from less.
It's too early yet for Quinn Snyder. I mean, to put him ahead of Brad Stevens.
But what's Brad Stevens won? He got to an Eastern Conference Finals.
He's won more than he's consistent.
Well, he's got a longer resume.
That's why you can't put him ahead of Quinn Snyder ahead of him.
Well, if I'm the GM, I'm probably hiring Quinn Snyder over Brad Stevens. That's just me, though.
Yeah, I don't know that.
I'm not going to say you're crazy, but I wouldn't say that as definitively as you just said it.
Okay, whatever. It's a good debate.
Spoelstra.
Yeah. Doc Rivers is a better coach.
Yeah.
Spoelstra and Doc Rivers, you absolutely have to have, down in Pops has to be there.
Definitely. Yeah.
He's got to be there.
Yeah. I mean, you can say what you want about Budenholzer. He's worthy of conversation.
Yeah, he is.
Not ahead of those guys, but he's right there. I watched him too up close and personal.
I mean, I guess Brad's right around that top five, but I think he's a good coach. I'm not trying to put him down.
I will be shocked if Mike Budenholzer wins anything.
I'll be shocked if Giannis wins anything, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's interesting.
Well, you know, you put Frank Vogel, who I like a lot. I like Frank Vogel a lot. He's a good dude and a very, very good coach. You put him in L.A., and boom, he wins a championship. As I said, I like him. Does that make him all of a sudden a better coach than a Quinn Snyder, a Brad Stevens, a Mike Budenholzer? You could put Mike Budenholzer probably in L.A., and, you know, maybe the same results happen. But I hear what you're saying about Budenholzer, and I know you have. In NBA circles, he's got a really, really good mind.
I think he does have a good mind.
Like, Mike Malone's a really good coach.
He wins a lot of regular season games.
I hear you.
He wins a lot of regular season
games. I just think Brad Stevens, like, the hype train is big with him.
Wow.
He's a good coach. Like the Zion conversation. I'm not trying to crap on the guy. I think
Brad Stevens was the Sixers coach from the time they did the...
The process,
he'd still be here. I think he'd still be here. I don't think in
NFL. I don't know how many guys could be
and
still
I think
here.
This team would have ascended faster than it ascended under Brett Brown.
I think I agree with you. I do. I think I agree with you.
Brett Brown could have... If Brad Stevens was in Brett Brown's shoes, he'd still be the coach today. Brad Stevens would have accomplished more than Brett Brown.
I think it's all on Ben and Joe, though, and where they're at in their career.
I think he would have accomplished more with those guys.
Hard to say.
It's a good talking point.
It is. It's a good one.
Well, like, could he have handled the Jimmy Butler situation? Because you lost a whole year of Joel Embiid to a mopey ass crying about Jimmy Butler. Yeah, like, can Brad Stevens...
Did you mention Spoelstra, by the way?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Spoelstra.
I think he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
Mike Malone's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
Hey, tonight, draft lines. Jamie and Devon, 6 o'clock tonight. And then you got Sixers basketball tonight on the Fanatic, which is pretty good news.
Love it.
Are we anti-Pelicans? Because Graf watches
them. No, we like Graf, who I've never met.
You do not like Zion, though.
I know this is a brain fart, but who is Graf?
Graf watches every single day. Like he checks in with us every single day.
Well, Graf, one of our listeners, just had a baby boy this time.
Hey, really? Oh, that's awesome.
Another
Graf.
So we got dueling Grafs.
I met that Graf.
He's a great dude.
He's a great dude.
We got dueling Grafs here.
Oh, that's awesome. Good for him.
Yes, a Graf is.
So if your name's Graf, you're a pretty great guy.
So when you are watching, there is Tiger Woods being missing from Augusta will affect ratings. But it is clear that one event every year in golf brings the boys to the schoolyard more than any other. And that's Augusta National. So it's a major, but it brings in peripheral fans. How about this one for you? So I dig up yesterday. Over any other major, it's going to have 35 to 40% more women watching. Than any other major.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Like my wife yesterday.
So is that what it is? Is that it's just...
Well, it's a part of it. I don't want to say it's everything.
Okay, well, 35 to 40% more women will watch this than will watch any other golf event this year over any, like, you know, 3 or 4 day period. 35 to 40% more women will watch. Around 17% to 21% more men will watch.
We were watching Amen Corner yesterday, the approach, and my wife went, oh, look how pretty that is with all the azaleas. Like, it is just a gorgeous sight.
It is.
I can tell you this, what's sort of fun.
And she likes their outfits, too.
I love the all-star. The all-star broadcast team. Like hearing Scott Van Pelt throw it to Jim Nance.
That's pretty cool.
Throwing it to Vern Lundquist.
Yeah.
Throwing it to... It's unbelievable. Like, the collaboration of this event.
Nick Faldo's awesome, too.
Faldo's great.
So I interviewed him one-on-one one time. He was in town. He was at Marion. It was before Marion hosted, but he was promoting a wine.
Okay.
He has his own wine collection, whatever. And so I got to sit down with him for, say, 20 minutes, just the two of us. I walk in, introduce myself. Great guy. Red or white?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I was red.
Well, he did that really great thing with... God, I'm...
Leslie Goodell.
Leslie Goodell's daughter has a nerve damage in her hand.
Yes.
And wanted to learn how to play golf. Her clip on the driving range went viral.
And Faldo got
a hold of it and ended up sending her, like, customized clubs from whoever his sponsor is, I'm sure.
Are you all right today? You just said driving range.
Faldo is incredible.
Driving
It drives in... It's Kripke. It is a...
Hello.
The idea of Augusta, is it just the visual?
Well, it's funny.
By the way, the greens have never looked crappier.
They're fast.
I have been many, many times. I think I've been to 11 Masters. I've never seen the greens have that much brown in them.
Well, let's not forget, it was 4 short months ago that Dustin Johnson tore up that course and shot a 20 under par.
Yeah.
November.
But don't think that Augusta wasn't a little, this cannot happen again. Now, I know it's been dry down there.
Oh, it's been very dry.
Well, Justin Rose doesn't care.
I know, but I'm telling you, I think, and John, you would know, just like, Augusta doesn't like guys going down there and posting 20 under. Yeah. So.
But that was November.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was surprised because visually, I've never seen so much brown in the greens.
Yeah. It was different.
It was surprising. Scott Van Pelt is so freaking good.
He's the best. I love him.
He honestly is. He's so good at being low-key excited.
Yes. You can tell he's giddy, but he keeps it cool.
He's happy with his job.
He loves his life.
He does.
I saw Brooks Koepka's fiance posted yesterday. Yes, I follow her. All right.
Would you guys
try this cocktail? She said, I discovered the azalea today. It's vodka.
I think I've heard of this term.
Vodka, grapefruit, soda with a splash of grenadine. I might make one today.
No, there's another name for that. There's another name for that in the South, too. That cocktail has another name.
Huh.
So I've heard it different.
But I guess at Augusta,
they call it the azalea.
Yeah, she's sipping it, leaving the clubhouse.
I would take that drink, hold the vodka.
You would take it because hold the vodka.
Because it has soda in it.
Yeah.
You like
double
soda.
It's the unofficial cocktail of the Masters.
What's
the official?
If you would have no alcohol in there, what would you put in there to make it taste like that, though?
Whoa.
You can't recreate it.
Mocktails are just the cocktail minus the booze, basically.
Yeah.
But it doesn't taste. Well, the vodka doesn't really have a taste, right?
It
does.
It's got a bite to it.
I'm a gin. Yeah, no, I'm a gin person. Gin does.
But, like, vodka has to have some kind
of
taste.
But gin doesn't.
It has an alcoholy taste, but it's a pretty bland liquor.
Like, gin is very...
Gin will punch you in the face.
But it's very neutral.
Yeah, Irish people and gin don't mix. My dad told me that a long time ago, and he was spot on.
I love gin.
Oh, it was like anger juice for me.
I found that in the gin club. Not only our own Anthony Gargano.
Oh, he loves gin.
Love gin. I love gin.
Do you ever do the cucumber in there?
No, but
it's a nice item.
I heard our own Adam Joseph.
Oh, yeah,
Gin Man?
He likes
one of our
gin.
Favorite listeners, Carl, knows Adam very well. And and Adam was posting yesterday about that his lime tree. He has a freaking lime
That's
tree.
That's awesome.
Of course he does.
So he can
does,
have yeah. fresh limes in his gin and tonics.
Well, I need
summer.
To talk he is to my him. Idol. And I Adam said, Joseph
I
is
said,
my
Tanqueray.
Idol.
I said, you misspelled Tanqueray in your spot. And he goes, oh, no. In the summer, it's Tanqueray. But in every other time of the year, it's this other brand of gin. And I am going to go to a place today and maybe even grab some just to try to taste it.
No, yeah, talk to Adam.
My dad was cheap. He got Gilby's. He had two martinis every day before dinner. My dad, gin and vermouth. And it was Gilby's gin because it was cheap.
What was the one with the, was it vodka that has the
Glad?
The man in the kilt? Beefeaters?
Beefeater.
Yeah, is beef that eaters. Gin?
Yes.
Betty used to have that in like the plastic.
Oh, yeah.
The plastic sort of thing.
Sure,
I'm like, Mom,
with the red cap.
Why do you live like you're a pauper? I never understood it. Get good gin. I don't need good gin.
It just tastes like gin anyway.
You're just paying more for it because you're
Did Betty
fancy.
Smoke?
No. She just would give you this,
No, I'm trying to picture her
not
in
a
my
smoker.
Head.
Good. No, not a smoker.
Yeah.
I'll give you a picture of her. We got a lot coming up on the show in the next hour. An early big series for the Phillies? That's not overstated. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. There's nothing better than the Parx Casino Sportsbook. That sportsbook app is so awesome. And with baseball back in full swing and golf in full swing, get it? Full swing. You can sign up now and you can be betting as things go on at Augusta. This is one of the greatest things right now. An incredible offer. New customers, make your first bet risk-free up to $500. Parx Casino Sportsbook is the official sportsbook partner of the real Philly sports fan. And if you like fantasy sports, the in-game wagering is amazing. But how about in-tournament wagering? Like with the Masters going on right now. It's absolutely awesome. And you can bet all the normal things you know, parlays and props and teasers, and even those, you know, pre-tournament betting, which a lot of people got involved in. You will love the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. It's easy to navigate. You can get that risk-free bet up to $500 when you use the promo code FANATIC. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 a.m. hour of the John Kincaid Show brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download at parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code Fanatic. Great tune. Pat, you're dancing in there.
Oh, he was jamming.
You're dancing in there.
It's payday.
That's a it is payday.
Oh, it is. That's
I
nice.
Checked this morning.
I got $40.
You don't check on payday first thing in the morning, you know?
I usually do. I don't.
Pop up
never.
In my email
You've
today
been too busy
reason.
Working.
Now that we
busy.
Finally have a joint account, she controls that account, so I just trust her.
Oh, wait.
You trust her?
Wait a minute.
What an idiot.
What an idiot. What you finally have a joint account. How
yeah,
long,
we didn't
how
have
How long have you been married?
6 years, been together 15 or 16.
When did you get a joint account?
When we got the new house.
You never had a joint bank account ever?
No.
I don't have a joint account.
There's a lot of people that married couples that don't, yeah.
Oh, it's great.
I'm shocked at that.
With Venmo and
no,
these,
honestly, I'm shocked
these
at that.
Cash transaction things anymore, it's so easy to, you know, balance each
but
other.
How do you know you're on the same page financially about spending, running up debt, doing all those things?
Because we run everything by each other. I mean, it's not like, I don't know.
I'm just shocked. I did not know that. Bob, you're saying that's common?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
See, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
I know a lot of people that have.
We each have our own. Christina has her own. I have my own. And then we have a joint account.
Oh, now our joint account is her old account.
I'm on her account. She's on my account. And then we have this other account that...
Yeah, we kind of the same way now. She has her own, I have my own, and then we have the joint. But yeah, the joint's actually... I like it more than I thought I was going to.
Well, when I see that everyone, they always say, is the number one thing that breaks up marriages is money. it's consistent. The number one thing is always money.
And that's why mine survived, because I don't have any.
Now you have a very capable partner. Who is it?
I think what you're referring to is I'm a kept man.
Exactly. That's how it works. And Pat, you just keep delivering what you've been delivering.
Ew.
You just keep delivering what you've been delivering.
Oh, you're talking about
as far as being a good husband and father. Oh. What do you think I was talking about?
My penis.
There is no such thing as a big series in baseball in the second week of April. And by the way, I heard that on this radio station yesterday. There's no such thing as a big series in baseball in the second week of April. Can we stop? Even though divisional play is a strong indication of whether you have staying power to be in a race over 162. Stop it with the big series this weekend, huge series. No, it's not. Phillies face the Braves in Atlanta this weekend, though. And since the beginning of the 2018 season, when the Braves started their three-year run atop the division, the Phillies are 25-26 head-to-head. And that doesn't sound impressive, but it's better than the Nationals, better than the Mets, better than the Marlins. So that's pretty impressive. They are just 7-15 at Atlanta in the same period of time, though. So if you want to unseat the Braves and stop their run, those numbers have got to improve. And this weekend would be a good time to do it. The Phillies' current 2-3-4 starters match up against the Braves' 2-3-4. And again, I'm not trying to be defeatist. I don't need a series win, but it would go a long way to making the rest of their opponents understand that the Phillies are more than just a nice early season story. Big series, stop it. Nice way to make a statement, though? Hell yeah. And that's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour of the show with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. We've got Dylan directing this morning to all of our YouTubers, and we have Connor making sure if you want to get in on the phones at 610-632-0975. The way this town has changed in a week regarding the Phillies, Bob, God bless you, is truly incredible. A week ago, nobody would have been talking. People weren't even talking postseason. People weren't talking any of that, and now it's all of a sudden, this would be great for the can the Phillies win a championship this year? And I'm like, oh my gosh, let's breathe a little bit. It's 5-1. I don't need to see a series win this weekend to feel good about the Phillies on Monday. I'd love to see a series win.
Sure.
But if they go out and they play some good games and get beaten in 2 and 3, it's no big deal to me. Like, I don't look at it as, I look at this as a long journey.
No, and you're right on that. There's no question you're right on that. Two things. One, we're a reactive town, as we know.
Sure.
So it's going to be as heightened as you are at 5-1 should the Phillies lose 2 out of 3. Oh, this is who we thought we were.
There it is.
Which is fine. I mean, if you don't have, that's what a fan is. If you don't have reaction to every game, every series, well then what are you? Just waiting for October? You can have a reaction to it. That's okay.
You can.
I'm even more so. Like, I take inning by inning, at bat by at bat, possession of by possession in basketball. I don't want to give up anything. I don't like to see a bad pitch. I don't like to see a bad swing. That's what leads to greatness, when you don't overlook series, when you don't win every series.
See, you look at it as
I do. I'm anal that way.
I say, look, I went into this expectation, Jamie, saying I wanted 8-5. If I was going to believe in the Phillies having a chance to stick around, I wanted 8-5 in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, because
they're 5-1.
If you could rewind and go back to the preseason and somebody said, hey, John, they'll be 8-5, you'd go, oh, hell yeah, this is a season.
I'll sign right at the dotted line.
These people are starting to become my biggest annoyance in sports, because it's much like life. Like, this is something I honestly try to go by. It's about the journey. It's not about the destination. If you're always looking at the destination, you're not going to enjoy the journey. And it's like the same thing for the Sixers this year. Shut up. They're not perfect. Nobody's ever perfect. Enjoy the journey. And the Phillies are the same way. Yeah, they're not perfect, but enjoy the freaking journey. It's 162 games. It's not about the end right now. Enjoy the ride.
I'm in Jamie's camp on this. I just don't. And by the way, you said that's what a fan is.
I
take issue with this. I don't believe that. Because I am a devout fan, and I've been a better fan than some fans who even live here. Because I was a devout fan 770 miles south.
sure.
for a quarter of a century for my teams and would watch every pitch that I could, lived to every single thing that I could to be a fan. But I don't ride the roller coaster of, oh, geez. Like, if they were get swept by the Braves Monday, well, they're done.
Well, you don't ride the extreme roller coaster, and that's fine. I'm not saying that doesn't make you a fan, and I wasn't, if I came off that way, that's not
what
you
are. No, but it's...
But to have reaction, to me, is the definition of fandom.
Yeah, sure. It's completely natural, and the people, hypothetically speaking, if they were to get swept this weekend...
Those are the people I'm talking about.
The people that would hop in your timeline and... Oh, see, I told you they're
same old Phillies.
Phone. It's like, dude, all right, as Jamie said, it's 162 games. There are going to be series where they get swept. It's going to happen. You know, we joke about going 161-1. We all know it's not going to happen because it's ridiculous. They're going to lose games.
I hate that on Twitter, by the way.
You don't like that?
161-1.
Give me a second.
160-2, still in play.
I can't help it. It's makes
so
me laugh.
Annoying. It's so annoying.
He's all pasted 162.
Stop, Pat. Don't do it. Pat's typing right now. It's just breathe a little bit with the
Phillies.
Enjoy what's going on with the Phillies. Enjoy every bit of it. But there don't have to be any grand proclamations on April the freaking 9th.
No, it's so dumb.
And if they get swept by the Braves, don't be like, I told you so, because you're the worst.
I heard people go, can the Phillies win a championship yesterday? I just wanted to beat my head against the steering wheel. I'm like, why are we talking
about
this?
Let's get to the trade deadline first and see what pieces get added.
I would say the bigger question that needs to be asked is, can the Phillies be in battling for first place in July?
That's a great question.
To me is the question.
And my gut right now says yes, they can.
My gut is right now, after the first week, is yes, they can. I wonder how dramatically it'll change by next Friday morning when they've played 7 more games.
Yeah.
I wonder how it'll change.
If you pad your division, you know, lead.
If they're not, I'm telling you, if they're 9-5.
You're cooking with gas now, baby.
If they're 9-5 next week, 9-4. If they're 9-4 next Friday morning, I will think this is one of those spooky years. I will start to believe that this is one of those spooky years where it jumps in on you. And
I'll go 11-2 and I'll start to believe it.
You know that 30% of ID theft victims suffer multiple types of identity theft. So why don't you get LifeLock? You can save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com. Use the promo code RISK. And once again, the Sixers and the Pelicans, 8 o'clock tonight on the Fanatic. By the way, did you see that Major League Baseball has confiscated baseballs from Trevor Bauer?
Yes, I did.
I didn't see that.
Multiple balls sent to the league office for inspection.
He pitches one game and they grab his balls?
Yeah.
They did.
Wow. They didn't even buy him dinner first, Bob.
They are checking for foreign substance.
I don't like him.
Why?
Jamie leaves no doubt in your mind about how he feels.
Here's why I'm going to question Jamie on this. If Trevor Bauer had somehow ended up a Philadelphia Philly,
I would have loved
him. You would be his biggest fan.
Yeah, probably.
That annoys the hell out of me.
Well, like, he's a spaz, like throwing the ball into center field.
And if he was a Philly, you would
Well, sure, I can say that about Sidney Crosby. I can say that about everybody I hate.
You'd be his biggest fan.
Yeah, if they're my players, I'll protect them and tell everybody to shut the hell up.
No, you'd be his biggest defender for the same behaviors you hate now. You'd love
it. I'd love him as a Philly. I'd still think he was a bit of a Richard as a dude. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I hated Pete Rose. Came to the Phillies and won a
championship. This town has celebrated many a Richard.
Oh, totally.
You just mentioned one of them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I love Pete Rose, by the way.
Absolutely.
And what will I do in July, Bob, when I go to Vegas? I will always check in, send an email over before I go, what day will Pete be over at the store in Caesars?
Yeah.
And I will always have to go over and see
That's
Pete
cool.
Rose. As like, and I will walk up and talk to Pete Rose if he's signing, and feel like a 15-year-old fan getting to chat with Pete Rose.
That's cool.
Because it's fun.
But if I said to you, all right.
You don't like him.
Baseball.
Not what he's
Baseball's just got sent to the league office for being doctored by a starting pitcher in baseball.
Okay.
Would Trevor Bauer be one of the first 5 names out of your mouth? Because he absolutely would be for me.
Yeah, I could believe that.
Yeah.
I could believe that.
Yeah,
if you're talking about a guy, it fits the
bill. Yeah.
That's good.
Screw him.
He wasn't very good before last year.
Yeah, and he's been overhyped.
I think he's been overhyped.
He's got stuff.
If you're looking at the body of his career, he absolutely has been overhyped.
I don't like him.
He doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Again, if he was a Philly, he'd have his jersey.
Yeah, sure. He was in a contract year. He made money, and before that, he was overhyped.
I don't know if I agree that Jamie would be all in on him, because I remember when Papelbon signed with the Phillies.
I hated him.
And I don't know Phillies fan that liked Papelbon.
I liked him as a closer.
And I understand what you're saying.
I hated that signing.
I hated it too. And there are a lot of people that you're right. You hate them, and then they come. Like, I didn't like Pedro, but then when Pedro became
a Philly, awesome.
I was like, oh, I love Pedro.
He's a good dude.
Yeah, Pedro's awesome. Right.
He's one of the biggest Richards around Major League Baseball.
Well, it was funny because he threw, I think, two practice games down in Reading before they brought him up. And I went down and covered them. And like, I was I don't want to say that. I thought he was a good dude. He was, I don't know his history.
I'm just saying, he's not.
Don Zimmer was asking for it, though.
Don Zimmer.
It was. He charged.
He charged.
He wanted that smoke, John.
You want the smoke. I can't
grab an 80-year-old by the face and throw him.
Yeah, he's coming at you to swing.
Hey, look, it's a
sorry, old man. You're going to get the...
You deflect the swing. You don't touch
him. He did. He stepped aside. He olayed him.
He tried to olay him like a bull.
He didn't throw a fist at him.
Just because there's an old bull coming at you doesn't mean it ain't a bull.
Sometimes old bulls got to go down, Pat.
Okay, so if Pat or Bob or Jamie or I were driving on a street... Rolled our car, wrecked our SUV at 8 in the morning, we would be tested for drugs and alcohol. Tiger Woods was not. And now we get the true story of what happened that morning.
He's lucky to be alive.
He is. But an empty, unlabeled pill bottle was found at the scene. And Tiger was somewhat combative, when the first responders tried to treat him at the crash. There was a 22-page report. TMZ finally got it. They found an empty pharmaceutical container right there. There was no label, no indication as to what potentially was in it, but open there for it. No drugs or paraphernalia found. They say there was no smell of booze, and Woods' eyes were not bloodshot. He was rather combative when asked to, receive some help. He was not receiving that. He did not want to get any kind of help. And also, he did not know. He said, "Where are you? I'm in Florida."
Oof. Well, that could be concussion related.
He repeatedly said, "I'm in Florida. That's where I'm at." So they find the empty pill bottle. They find they did not perform any field sobriety test, and they chose to not collect any blood samples from Tiger Woods. If Bob, Jamie, myself, or Pat were in the same situation, we would be tested for drugs and alcohol. The car was reportedly going as 87 miles an hour in a spot double what you should have been going.
I don't like going 87 on the highway, regardless of a windy back road I'm not familiar with.
87 on a road where you should be doing 45. So he's doing double the speed limit, pretty much.
That's usually revoked a license if you double the speed limit, is my understanding.
Yeah, they say he hit the tree at 75 miles an hour.
Jeez.
That's unbelievable.
The Genesis is going to sell some. They're going to sell some of these.
That car
SUVs.
Saved his life.
It saved his life, and then he fell and rolled five times or something. Like rolled over a bunch of times. You or I or any citizen will be tested.
He got the Tiger Woods treatment.
By the way, every single 2018, 2019, 2020, they were able to acquire 3 years of data on that road. Anyone in a rollover accident on that road.
Tested.
Drugs and alcohol testing.
Yeah.
And they don't find empty pill bottles. And I love Tiger Woods. I've said it many times. I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, but this is an absolute joke.
Wait, you're telling me a celebrity got preferential treatment?
This is a joke.
I'm shocked.
And he repeatedly said he was in Florida.
Well, that could just be concussion. Like, I'm not assuming that's drug or alcohol related. I think that's probably just your brain got rattled around in your skull and you don't know what planet you're on.
Could be. Could very well be.
He's lucky to be alive.
He knew everything else. He was able to know everything else. He was able to tell everything.
Yeah, I mean,
he was able to tell his address.
I'm not giving him.
He was able to give his address. He was able to give everything. He was able to give where he was going.
Have they said what's in the pill bottle? Because he's got a history of.
There was nothing in the pill bottle.
There was nothing in it?
It was an empty pill
bottle. All right, this report, I'm asking honestly.
It's the police report. TMZ got it.
This is a thing by The Independent. It's the only place that I'm finding it. I don't know what the TMZ Independent.
That's a British tabloid.
No, but TMZ got it too. TMZ got
that's
the 22.
What saying,
they got the 22 page report. And you or I, every single person in 18, 19, and 20 on that stretch of road got tested for drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, but they weren't Tiger Woods.
That's incredible. I mean, it's really, he could have killed somebody.
Yeah.
Could've wiped out a family.
Yeah.
I mean, not only killed himself, but he could have wiped out a family.
I mean, look at Britt Reed.
You're doing 87 in a 45 or whatever,
that's
and
outrageous.
It's a risky road. Crazy. Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Ben and Zion. Oh, must see.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, so we hit on it a little bit. Sixers, New Orleans tonight. You have one of the better scorers in the league, obviously, in Zion Williamson. I asked you before, like, how do you handle it? Do you say, all right, let's try to stop him, because if you stop him, you stop the team. If you're Doc Rivers and there's no way that they can beat us, I'm talking like Doc Rivers. I'm not calling the Sixers us. Or do you say, well, he's going to get his. Tobias, you're going to cover him because he's a natural three or four, and you have him. Somebody stated to me, start Dwight Howard at the four tonight and, you know, have him go at it. But I would love to see Ben Simmons go on him tonight. Ben's been struggling. My thought is the way you get players out of struggles is to challenge them more, not to coddle. That's just my belief.
Are you talking about situationally tonight? He could get fouled out of the game.
He could, but it's one of the best defenders in the league against one of the best offensive players in the league.
So it's a matchup you want to see.
It's a matchup I want to see, but also this does come into play with it. Ben Simmons has been struggling, like I said. I'm a guy, if I was coaching or whatever, watching a game, if I see a kid struggling, if I see a player struggling, I want to give them even more responsibility to try to get them out of their funk, because that way you can't think that you're in a funk. You have a very difficult task at hand. All your thinking has to go there. So maybe it takes away some of your funkiness. So anyway, that being said, is there anybody in this league, name three guys in this league that you wouldn't feel comfortable putting Ben Simmons on?
No one. Comfortable?
Comfortable?
No one.
The only thing is, in this game, I don't think it's good strategy in this game.
Foul trouble is what worries me with Zion.
Well, it's a... Look, I hear you.
Because he brings the ruckus to you.
You can take him off. You can take him off of him.
But I do want to see
him. What I'm saying is, if you're talking about switching him up and doing stuff like that, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the matchup, too. I just think the game's too important because it's just such a neck-and-neck race for the top spot.
I mean, I think Harden would be a difficult matchup for him.
Okay.
Because of the jerky motion and the stop-start ability.
He's the straight-line guy that you're just waiting to get off balance
from. Yeah.
You're more likely to foul. He'd be more likely to get into foul trouble guarding Harden, right?
Yeah. I mean, Durant, you can just shoot on anyone.
Right, Durant's...
He's a nightmare matchup.
Durant is a nightmare.
That's scary, the two of them.
I know, are together on the same team. LeBron, nobody can guard.
No.
He's going to get his. And Steph... Those are probably the four.
Okay.
And just because Steph can literally shoot from any point on the court.
We're talking about like the greatest defender.
We're talking about four of the top 25 players ever.
The greatest defender in the NBA, though. We're going, yeah.
But look at those four names.
These guys are.
Those are top 20 legendary players.
And it's funny. You went different positions. You went point guard.
Because he can guard them all.
Yes.
So, and
which is a credit to Ben.
That was part of my point.
Yeah.
As down as we are and frustrated as we are with his offense, God, we have to realize how good he is defensively. There may be three guys in the league that you are a little bit questionable whether he can cover effectively or not.
I go,
yeah.
Ben put him in prison.
He did.
Yeah, and then Monday they get another shot at him.
Yeah.
So he gets Zion and Luka in the next 5 days.
And I'm serious about this. I mean, I'm dead set on it that when you're in a funk like he's in, give him tough assignments to try to make him work out of it.
I love that idea, though.
It'll focus him.
Yeah.
I really do love that idea.
It's pretty amazing.
Keenan would sometimes put slumping players on power play.
Yeah.
Offensively. Just give him a little power play time. See if they could do something like that. All right, we got a lot coming up for you. Bargain shopping? Jamie Lynch has never bargain shopped in his life. But he's going to try to suggest it for others. We're getting to it. Is there still Marshalls? Yeah, there are.
Oh, yeah.
Marshalls and TJ Maxx, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think I got a gift card. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We had a ball at 5 Iron in Center City as a group. It was absolutely amazing. And they've got great packages for the Masters that are still available.
After the show.
To play on the simulators.
Let's get it done.
It is so much fun. A terrific indoor golf experience downtown 21st and Chestnut. Full menu. You can consider a membership. You can even store your clubs there, use the locker rooms, take advantage of the golf pro.
Yeah.
But don't take advantage of the golf pro. Be nice to him.
He seems like a great guy.
Of course, really good guy. Great real good guy.
That bar is very impressive, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you're playing the simulator. You're having some cold beers. You're having fun.
We had some cheesesteak egg rolls, too. They were dynamite.
Yeah, they were really, really good, too. Five Iron Golf is at 2116 Chestnut Street in Center City. And it is an amazing place to just, you know, hang out with your boys. Have a great night out, or maybe a date night, maybe some couples if you're all into golf. It is a great, great spot. Visit 5 Iron Golf at 5irongolf.com on the web, and you may just see the John Kincaid Show crew there sometime soon.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for hanging out with the John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, we've got lots of fun stuff coming for you. I wouldn't lie to you. Coach might, but I won't. Jamie with the little laugh. Jamie, when you get Jamie's little side laugh, that is... It is very, very.
It's not right, Coach.
You and I are going to fight, John. I'm not talking just verbal fight. Like, I'm talking bare knuckle parking lot fight.
It's all right.
Meet me in the parking lot after school.
Give Jamie and I 5 minutes to grab beers before you guys start.
And
right?
Coach, you're not lying about that either, right? You're really serious? I want to make sure.
Wow.
Because I can't really tell.
Connor's going to be in the background yelling world star.
Yeah. I mean, wait, today is show number 70.
70.
Out of 69 shows that we've done completely, I haven't hated you more than I do today.
Wow.
There we go.
And that's saying something.
That is saying something.
Coach has spewed some hate your way.
That is saying something. That is very, very good. How about if we give, well, Coach can't win the contest.
By the way,
yes,
you're now on my list.
You don't want to make an enemy out of me.
Yeah, but I can't tell if you're telling me the truth when you say that.
You know what? Damn. You just made the list.
I'm not sure. You may be saying that. You may mean it. You may be omitting something.
You guys are going to fight. Can you just do it while we're in segment so we can get ratings for it?
Hey, the Fanatic 500 Fast Cash keyword comes your way at 8 a.m. Your chance to win $500 here on the Fanatic. Did you see the way that the Mets won yesterday?
Throw them all in jail. They're war criminals.
The Mets cheating to win.
What a bunch of scumbags.
This is
what happens when you have a team that practices their World Series celebration in spring training.
It was absolutely...
You're scum.
Complete bush league. It's so Mets. It's so what the Mets are and what the Mets symbolize to me. The cheating. Here's the one thing, though. If you didn't hear it, Conforto, who earlier in the game sticks his elbow into the strike zone.
And why does he do that, John?
Because he can't get a hit.
Oh, and also because he has a exoskeleton covering his right arm.
He's wearing this gigantic covering on his arm.
It's ridiculous.
It's stupid. And so he gets a free base earlier in the game doing it. And then at the end of the game, with the bases loaded, he does it again. But here's why I wanted you to hear it. The Mets broadcasters. And if you can't tell already, it's something that I have a real issue with. Guys who work for teams doing broadcasts that decide to wear pom-poms and shake the pom-poms and be cheerleaders and be totally non-objective, as opposed to guys who can do the job professionally and do it right. Not cry about every call that doesn't go their way, things like that. Here's the
call!
Here's where the Mets broadcasters handled things yesterday when the Mets won a game that they clearly didn't deserve to win. Listen to how the Mets professional broadcasters handled it.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there. Strike three. Hit it. Throws into the pitch. And hit it. Into the strike zone. Nick Conforto, he may Don Mattingly's going to come out and argue the call with the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa. That's what the Marlins are arguing. This is a strike, yep. And he gets hit. Look at the, you can't do that. They have totally got to bring it back. Totally have yes. They're going to be called by the umpire as to whether he made an effort to get out of the way.
Trying to get it right.
Can't do that.
I'm almost certain that they cannot overrule this on replay by saying that he stuck his elbow into an arm.
No, but you can call it that he stuck his arm in purpose and he's out.
Gary Cohen, fantastic. Ron Darling and Keith Hernandez. Professional broadcasters, not cheerleaders, on the Mets broadcast saying that was cheating. He cheated. A complete cheat.
Total. Yeah.
And I love their objectivity.
Yeah. Sure.
I love it when I hear broadcasters work for a team that don't have to shill for the team and don't have to try to go, well, everything's against us and they're all against us. And that's objectivity.
Yeah.
And they called that out. And I guarantee you that's not popular with Met fan watching.
No. So I was texting with my Met friends last night and they were like, Conforto's an idiot. They were like, he deserves to get plunked this weekend. So, Mets fans were even like, this is cheap.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good then.
That was three Mets friends of mine that I was texting with.
Yeah, my cousin, same thing.
Say they didn't.
Can't stand it. Ridiculous. You know, get rid of the padding and everything.
He didn't try to get out of the way. He went out of his way.
And he said, well, this is like, it's just instinct for me.
No, it's not.
No, it wasn't.
That's nowhere near a natural swing.
That's absolutely awful.
I'm sorry. Real quick, I'm sorry, Pat. Somebody throws a baseball 90 some miles an hour.
Your reaction
is to get away, not to put your body
to it. When you look at the replay, too, and Connor pointed this out. No one swings a bat like that.
No,
they tried to make the excuse of, he's getting it. Stop.
No.
You know, and I heard this on social media yesterday of what's the difference between what he did and what Utley used to do. Utley would make no attempt to get out of the way, but he wouldn't lean into the pit. That's a strike.
He pulled a Roger Dorn. Dorn, get up there and lean into one.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Utley leaned a little bit.
I love Chase Utley.
He wouldn't get out of the way.
Pat, you know for a fact that Chase Utley leaned into pitches sometimes. Nope.
Not ones that were strikes.
Pete Rose did too.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose was great at it. Hey, Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers, visit paworkinjury.com.
Throw Conforto in Guantanamo.
Oh my gosh, I'd love that. In the linchpin, please. Jamie Lynch is going bargain shopping, please.
Always.
This is the linchpin.
What is bargain shopping for you? Is that Brooks Brothers?
No, I don't like Brooks. They prefer the skinny guys.
They prefer all this slim fit crap anymore.
You know, I only have a couple places I can shop. Everything's slim fit. It's ridiculous.
Why are you yelling at me?
He's not lying,
Coach.
Don't
go after the slim guys in the room.
He's not lying, Coach.
Why does everything have to be slim fit anymore? What about just regular fit?
I just want the regular fit.
Yeah.
I want the regular fit.
You're not at the big and tall store?
No, not that big yet.
The big and tall doesn't mean you're fat.
Big and tall doesn't mean fat and ugly.
You're 6'4", 250. That's big.
You should shop in big and tall.
Never been there.
You should shop in big and tall section. Macy's has a big and tall section, and they'd be able to find clothes that would fit you very well.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Pat can shop in the little and small section.
So the Eagles.
I thought we were going to get through one.
It's the short and small, by the way.
It's not right. It's not right, Pat. The Eagles, on the other hand, they did some more, I think, great bargain shopping this week.
All right, tell us why.
They signed two guys the other day. Kind of went below the radar for a lot of people. One was bringing back Jordan Howard. Now, Jordan Howard isn't... I believe the Eagles are going to draft a running back this year. Jordan Howard doesn't prevent you from doing that. He essentially... If I'm Boston Scott, I'm sweating. Jordan Howard becomes essentially like a third-stringer veteran guy to have around.
Fine with it.
Power game. Costs you no money. Why not?
Fine with it.
There's no risk. Minimal money.
I'm not going to applaud that move, though.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
The one I do like, though, is the linebacker they brought in, Eric Wilson from Minnesota. So Anthony Barr got injured last year. Eric Wilson had to fill in for him. He's 26 years old. Now, he has some pluses to his game and some minuses to his game, but it only costs you $3.2 million for a pretty big need on this team. He's very good in coverage, which we just watched Nate Gary play for 2 years. Holy hell, this guy's going to look like Dick Butkus out there. He stinks against the run. the Eagles' strength on their defensive line is run prevention. Correct. So you hope some of that can mask his deficiencies. But last year for the Minnesota Vikings, he was third most in the league on assisted tackles. He had 60 assisted tackles, 122 overall. He ended up being, I know PFF, you know, hand motion. He ended up being their 27th highest graded linebacker last year. The guy's athletic, he's young, and because of this wonky kind of offseason that we're having, you were able to get him on a one-year, low-risk $3.25 million deal, and he might end up being your best linebacker next year.
I'm going to tell you right now, he's the best linebacker on the depth chart.
I think he is.
I don't even think it's a question. Now, I'm going to tell you this.
I can't say Alex Singleton.
I knew his name.
But he's second.
I knew his name, but I didn't know until I went and did research.
He didn't get his real shot until Anthony Barr went down.
Right. He's better than anything the Eagles have.
Absolutely. And I think it was a great signing.
And to me, I'll give them the little golf clap that I think this is very good work on the Eagles' part.
Yeah, and listening to some of the talk around the Eagles is that they're probably going to go mostly with just two linebackers because they're going to play that.
Gannon's new defense.
Yeah, so it's him and Singleton. Singleton, for what he is, and he's around the ball.
Yeah.
So he's that guy, and now you get Wilson. Maybe it's a really good pairing where you have a coverage and a ball hog kind of guy.
He's a good coverage guy.
Look, I mean, the new NFL 12 formations, tight ends are huge. You know, wide receivers are going across the middle a lot. We had Nate Stinking Gary out there who couldn't cover us. And he could cover me. I'm fat and out of shape. But it's going to be a tremendous upgrade compared to what we were used to the last 2 years.
And I like the fact that you applauded the Eagles for a personnel move when they get crapped on a lot. That was a really good move. I had to go do research on the guy, though. I didn't know him.
I had to do a little research. I knew the name,
but I didn't know anything about
it. But then I dove into his stats last year, and I went, whoa.
And by the way, read the Minneapolis Post-Gazette or whatever it is. The Viking fans are very upset that he's gone.
And the Vikings have a good eye for linebackers.
And they're upset that he's gone.
Yeah. Between Kendricks and Barr and some of these other guys.
After reading up on him, I like the signing a lot. What worries me is the fact that I feel like we do this a lot with the bargain bin signings, especially linebacker. Like Zach Brown is a prime example of that, where you talk yourself into, wow, this could be a really great low bargain bin signing for the Eagles, and it just doesn't really seem to work out a lot.
Well,
of
the
times.
One thing is, if you go and you read the Viking website coverage, now that's also in house. Mm-hmm. Even the in house reporter, their Spadaro, they wanted him back.
And the other reason
they wanted him back, it was a decision. But it was a decision that, a thing. If you go back and read, and if you're a real dork, go back on the Vikings website, there's a piece from their offseason report of the priorities. One of the priorities was bringing him back.
And the other reason it's nice, too, is you're heading into the draft, and everybody in the world knows you need linebackers here. And not that this prevents you from drafting somebody, but it makes you a little less desperate.
If Singleton is one of your starters,
I'd like an upgrade.
You need a lot.
Well, you had a third round pick last year. Yeah. Hopefully he can show you something.
And I'll tell you what, the Jordan Howard thing, I wanted him back the first time when they let him go.
I agree with you.
It was a good compliment to Miles Sanders.
He had some injury issues, but you don't win that Thursday game up in Green Bay without him.
Mm-hmm. No.
He's tough, and you're going to get injuries with tough runners, as we all know. But if Miles Sanders accelerates to the place that we all thought he was going to be last year, maybe can get there this year, I think Jordan Howard is the perfect complement that you need behind him.
Yeah.
And then Boston Scott even becomes, if you keep him, even more effective as a third guy as opposed to having to be a second, I believe.
I want them to draft somebody.
Less is more with Boston Scott, in my opinion.
I'm all with a fifth-round running back.
Yeah, fourth, fifth, whatever.
I'm all for it.
I believe you should draft a running back every 2 years.
This team is so bad defensively, though.
Yeah, they are.
I just want them to stock up in the defensive, you know, aisles. Just go shopping.
In the SEC, please.
All right, let me paint the picture for you. Let's say a Surtain or a J.C. Horn falls to them. And I'm not telling you they're going to be 12? A playoff. At 12, and you get a cornerback. Now you got Anthony Harris in the safety, which is an upgrade over Jalen Mills.
Right.
Equal to a McLeod type. You have a slight upgrade at linebacker.
A new DC with the new philosophy.
A new DC and a defensive line that's still stout.
They could do it.
It's going to be a lot better than last year.
Should be. Draft lines with Jamie and Devon tonight at 6. Which will lead you up to the Sixers and the Pelicans.
I have a feeling Devon will be taking Joel Embiid first bucket again tonight. That's his bet choice of go-to.
Is 8 o'clock on a Friday okay start time for you? Is that all right?
That's okay, yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay. Friday?
I just want to make sure.
All right. I
Thanks for asking.
I want to tell you that I don't know if I'm a drug user now, but I got to raise my hand. I was on the Ollie last night for the first time.
Molly?
Ollie.
Tripping balls, John?
Oh, wow. Ollie.
I worked with a drug addict.
I took the Ollie. I got the Ollie at the recommendation of two friends that use melatonin. So I took Ollie last night. It is these chewable gummies, melatonin.
Where do you get them?
Melatonin's good.
CVS?
Oh, yeah,
I got them yesterday. I got them yesterday when I gave the lady my chair at the CVS after getting my COVID shot. And then the lady proceeded to follow me around the aisles thinking I was going to collapse in the aisles because I was shopping. I said, because I gave up my chair and I went shopping. I said, yeah. Okay, I'm going to go look shopping. I got the Ollie. And it is these chewable gummies. You take two of them.
They taste good?
Really good. 30 minutes before bedtime. And I'm telling you, 20 minutes later, my eyes were heavy.
So we should all take them during the show and see who's the last one standing. Come on, let's party.
No, because then you're going to sleep.
I used to take melatonin before flights when I was doing the Sunday Night Football grind.
You would?
It works.
It really did. I was shocked because, first of all, I've never done the gummies of anything.
Gummy bears?
I've had a gummy bear.
On
a medication, though, that comes in gummy, or vitamins that come in gummy.
Gummy arms aren't vitamins?
I was told take the gummy because it works faster than the pill.
Huh.
So I took the gummies.
So you're not going to get pregnant either?
20 minutes, 20 minutes I was in.
Congrats, yeah, Bob,
that's Bob, like all in one.
Right?
Bob,
that's good shopping
by you, John. Unfortunately, right now, there better not be a pregnancy. there's going to be real problems. If Christina turns up
Lucy, pregnant. Lucy, you got some explaining to do.
If Christina turns up pregnant right now, I've got a calendar.
Wait, she was in town recently. Congratulations.
Yeah, but I...
You're going to be a daddy.
Let's just say I know that there's not going to be anything from
Who's
that
Who's your
one.
Daddy?
He's going to tell you. All right, here's what I would just tell you. But, I slept, though, last night. But it didn't give... I only got a 72 sleep score last night, which surprised me. I thought I would do better. We'll see if I do
better. How do you get a sleep score?
Your
watch?
What do you call it? Fitbit.
Coach, as a member of management, do you look down on your talent being drug addicts? Or is it accepted?
The Ollie?
I think he's lying.
What do you mean? The Ollie, I bought the Ollie I bought the two because I got the
Ollie's also a baby wrap. The Ollie saved us. It's a Velcro baby swaddle. It's a game changer for any new parents out there.
By the way, $10 extra bucks. Right now, if you spend a certain amount of money and you buy the Ollie, you get $10.
Is that in the receipt
bucks.
That's 1,000 feet long? They
oh,
give
it's
you?
Incredible.
I always just find that annoying.
It's
I should probably look
incredible.
At it.
So, Bob, you were talking about Ricky and that whole Barry Bonds story where, you know, Ricky Pitalico owned Barry Bonds.
Well, he did.
He owned him.
Yeah, he had very good success against him. And there was a game, an afternoon game, I believe it was a Sunday. Where Bonds had done something. I think he stole a base the day before. Whatever, he did something. And Metallico comes into the game and has to plunk him, and he does. And we're not talking pre-roided Bonds. No, we're talking all plumped up Barry Bonds.
Big old pumpkin head Bonds.
Yeah. Giant head
so,
Bonds.
So Metallico comes out of the bullpen, starts the inning, and first pitch, boom, right on the leg. And here comes Bonds. He puts the bat down, and he comes running out, Ricky. I'll say it to his face next week. Wasn't really impressed with Ricky's. Ricky kind of went to one knee and threw his shoulder into him.
You got
to
get low versus somebody.
I think he went for the tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, but he didn't thrust forward. No. It was bad form on Ricky's part.
It's funny. Ricky's usually pretty good at thrusting. I've heard. At baseball, Bob, thrusting his hips through. Come on.
You had
Eskimo Brothers
together.
Ricky.
More explanation on this.
But if you're going up against Bonds, who's
well, wait a minute though. He went into a.
You got to get low.
He went into The one thing is when you watch the video, and I can tell you that I would have been too busy peeing myself with Barry Bonds.
That's a terrifying image.
But Ricky went into a defensive position.
He did. Yeah. He went into like a football tackle.
He didn't go into a come at me, bitch.
No, he held his glove up like he was going to throw it at him.
Right.
And then didn't, then went low, which is, I agree with you.
Get him to the ground. And then
throwing the glove, too.
That's weak.
You want a piece of me? The throwing the glove. I didn't understand that part.
Oh, it's a distractive thing.
Go.
Yeah, he acted like he was going to do it. If you make the guy flinch, then you can
get him a little off.
But
and then
it was apparent neither one of them was going to throw a punch.
Yeah, it's baseball.
And Ricky told us off air yesterday that Bonds came up to him. Ricky got suspended, but they went out to San Fran. Next series, Bonds said, hey, I would have done the same thing. And all was good. Everything was okay.
He gave him a bear hug, he said, and picked him up like he weighed nothing.
Yeah.
Ricky said he was around 220 at the time.
225, yeah.
And he said Bonds gave him like a bro bear hug, picked him up like he was a feather off the ground.
Yeah. And
that's sort of a condescending thing to do, isn't it?
A guy
picking up another guy.
I would be weirded out by it.
I think
weird.
Ricky said he came up behind and grabbed him and picked him up.
Okay, that's weird.
So that's
too.
Yeah.
And Roland said to him, you got a problem over there, Rick?
So two questions I have for you.
Yes.
One, would you have the balls to throw up Barry Bonds, roided up Barry Bonds back in the day?
No.
The only reason I would say yes is because if my clubhouse was expecting me to do it,
yeah,
I would have
to
do it.
Oh, I'd have to do it.
But there's going
to
be that one-on-one.
I wouldn't want to do it, but I'd have to not lose my teammates' respect.
And I've often thought of this, and it could be a horrible idea on my part, but if I'm a pitcher and I hit somebody and they start running at me.
You run back at them?
I'm thinking, yeah. That's what I would do, just to throw them off.
Charge!
Like, oh, you're running at me, I'm running at you. It's like two bulls going after
me. Yeah, I would think you don't get into a defensive position.
I don't want somebody running at me and me standing still in any time in life, whether I'm covering somebody in basketball or somebody's coming to throw a punch at me.
You want
to
be the moving target.
Well, it was like the Utah game with Ben Simmons a couple weeks ago. That small white point guard barged into Simmons.
Yeah.
Simmons was standing still and got knocked over.
Pat, right.
I would throw at him because I would never think that he would actually charge the mound.
Really?
So I would throw at him, and then as soon as he charges, I'm like, oh God.
But the thing is, I was
surprised. Can the catcher catch him, please?
I was surprised by the defensive position that he took.
Yeah, I thought it was a good move.
I would think you move at him. That you move at him because you're a moving target is much easier to. When you're stationary,
yeah,
it's much easier to somebody to get the advantage on you.
But the scary part is, if somebody's running at you and they load up and throw a punch at you, obviously you're at a disadvantage. But if you're running at them and they're running at you and there are punches thrown, that's a scary situation when both bodies are in motion because that's more force.
There you go.
So I don't know. I just always wondered
what
I would do.
So you're saying Pedro did it right versus Don Zimmer?
I'm not.
I mean, okay.
when the bull's charging down Pamplona.
I'm going to tell you this. In the next half hour of the show, we have a dilemma that is a dilemma that was offered to 10 people on the Vegas Strip. And I'm going to spring it on the guys, and then I'm going to spring it on some listeners. And it's going to be an interactive thing that I want you to get involved in. Plus Sixers and the Nets. Here we go. We'll talk about the battle top of the East. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. With Window Nation offering you this great deal right now. I want you to do window shopping today at windownation.com. The boss knows on Fridays you're unproductive. So you need to go to windownation.com where you can get 50% off every style of Window Nation window. I'm talking bow windows, bay windows, picture windows, garden style windows. I didn't even know what they were the other day till I looked. Any style, any color, 50% off. But it gets better. How about 0% financing for 18 months? That's how Window Nation is going to help you this spring to get your home looking its best, to be energy efficient, and with over 1 million windows installed and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you know you're doing business with a great company. 50% off every style of Window Nation window and 18 months of 0% financing, you've got to get on it today. Call them at 866-90-NATION. I want you to tell them John Kincaid told you to call 866-90-NATION for my friends at Window Nation.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready for a big weekend. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. 8 o'clock hour brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. ESPN.com. The boys were having chips during the break. So,
oh, wait, there was a chip party?
Well, you had chips, didn't you?
Yesterday.
We're I had those. Out there now.
Connor had some chips.
Oh, that Connor was Connor. Was eating chips.
Bob bought me.
Jamie, this is John. John, Jamie.
Connor was eating chips.
He bought me the dill pickle chips yesterday.
Oh, they were awesome.
They were a tasty item.
They were not bad.
If there's ever any food that looks intriguing that I don't want to partake, Jamie's my guinea pig.
I'll be your jester.
Yeah.
He's good at that stuff. Connor would eat anything, too.
Connor's microwaved hamburgers is his main source of protein.
At 8 o'clock in the
morning.
It's
absolutely
horrifying. You can't imagine what comes
out of it. Well, this is horrifying. As the 76ers go on this weekend three-game road trip through Monday night, here's a sneaky stat you may have missed. It's about the road to winning an NBA championship. Here's the bottom line. If you can't win three best-of-seven series within the Eastern Conference, you won't be playing for the NBA title. Right now, the Sixers have been the better team playing in the East compared to the Nets. How much better? Substantially. The Sixers are 24-7 versus the East. 7-7-4 winning percentage. By far the best team in the conference. The Nets, 19-11 in conference. 6-33 winning percentage. They've been struggling within the conference. So I'm going to beat the drum again one last time here for the week for that top seed necessity. The Nets are going to need to have wear off of the tires before they get to the East title series. Right now, the way that the Nets have played within the Eastern Conference, they may end up there with a flat, which would be really, really good. Go Sixers. Enjoy the game tonight versus New Orleans. And you'll hear it right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille, as we start the 8 o'clock hour. We'll tell some truths. We'll spit some out this hour here on the John Kincaid Show. Hopefully we'll be able to know if we can tell the difference. But plus a challenge for you coming up in just a few moments to participate with us in a documentary that I got a chance to see that was incredibly intriguing. We'll get to that in just a few moments. So does it mean anything to you, Bob, that the Sixers are 24-7 in conference and the Nets are 19-11?
I like the fact that the Sixers are 24-7. I just looked up the Nets' losses in conference of the 11.
Right.
A lot of them come against nobody teams.
Correct.
They lost two to Washington, a couple to Cleveland, Toronto, Detroit.
Yes.
So,
what do you make of that?
I make of it. I don't know who was resting. I don't know who was playing. I see Joe Harris with a high score in a couple of those games. I think when it's a lesser opponent, those are their, air quotes, nights off. And they just kind of take those games for granted. When they play the Philadelphias, the Bostons, the Milwaukees, they seem to bring it. So I am not poo-pooing what you're saying at all. And I think I brought up a few weeks ago, I like that the Sixers are killing it in conference. You make a great point. You're going to have to beat these teams.
They're the teams you got to beat when it comes around.
Yeah, the Sixers lost twice to the Cavs, if I'm not mistaken.
They did.
So it's just, yeah, I mean, it's probably a mindset thing where they dial it back or give a guy a night's rest. It doesn't really phase how I view their matchup, though.
So it doesn't?
No.
But the only thing is I'm looking at is here is if you can dump the Nets into that two spot, and the Nets have to play
potentially
Miami, Milwaukee, Sixers to get to the finals.
And you could get potentially New York, Atlanta, Charlotte.
Correct.
No, you
could get New York
in the first.
Atlanta, Charlotte winner in the second.
In the second, right.
And then
Milwaukee. That's the easiest path. So the one seed is pretty important.
It is. It seems more important. I don't know if it is as important, though, when you look at that the Nets can sort of turn it on or turn it off.
I don't know how easy it is to turn it on and turn it off in the playoffs, though. I feel like everybody turns it on.
Well, you're in a seven-game series versus one team.
Yeah, and talent's going to take over most times, but for whatever reason, I'm just not concerned with the Nets.
Really?
Yeah, I really should not. You're not the only person. I should
though.
Be. You're right. And I'm going to sit here in a couple months and look like an idiot. But
you can look like one today.
No,
I think you just did with that statement.
Okay,
I mean, I would be concerned about them.
You got to be concerned with the Nets.
Don't say you're
That's
not concerned.
That's an overstatement, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a little overconfident. And you know what? I don't hate this positivity that I'm spewing.
Wow. I like the positivity.
I like the positivity. It's when realistic.
Reality leaves your brain.
The reality is
that, you know.
You know what? You guys can all be Debbie Downers. That's fine.
I think it's a 50-50 coin flip series. I really do. I believe that.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah. Odds-wise, I'd make the
40 Nets.
I would make the Nets. If I was 60, the odds maker, 40. I would probably make them a 145 series favorite.
So 60-40.
But something that's like them. That. Me as, you know, fan.
King of the Hoagie Mouse?
Yeah. That's a coin flip series to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched the Nets the other night and forget Durant coming. Well, don't forget Durant came off the bench, went 5-for-5 and had whatever. They're a good team.
Yeah,
they're not
they're
deep.
Incredible.
And John puts it, and you put it right, that when you look at the guys coming off the bench, and it's a TLC and a Landry Shamet, and I think one of them was even hurt the other night, but you're watching, and you're like, wow, who are these guys coming off the bench? But I don't know. Steve Nash has them playing, much like I said about Brad Stevens having, no matter who it is, running nice schemes. They run really nice schemes.
That's why I think Shake Milton is paramount to their playoff success, because if you're up against a Brooklyn, let's say, you need to take advantage of those second units. And look, Brooklyn doesn't have, you know, we talk about their matchups. They don't have anybody that can guard Joel Embiid.
None.
No one.
No.
So we have a distinct advantage over them there. But that second unit is what you're going to have to take advantage of.
Yeah, they don't have someone who can guard Joel Embiid, but they had people that they can throw 5 fouls at Joel.
Yeah, sure. And that's great. He's an 85% foul free throw shooter.
Exactly.
This isn't the days of Shaq anymore.
Maybe you
can
take
you know?
That aside.
Like, if Shaq had Joel's free throw shooting ability, he might have been the greatest NBA player ever.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, you can forget Hack as Shaq. You're going to come playoff time, close game, 2 minutes, you're the Nets, you're down 5 or whatever, you're going right after Ben
Absolutely.
Simmons.
Absolutely.
And
gotta go
that's
after
where
ben
he's got to be.
Ben Simmons can become a potential liability there if it's not careful.
He could, yeah.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance. So Pat puts up the 161-1, which I freaking hate.
You love it.
I hate it. And,
it's still alive, though, John. You can't argue against
so
it.
Oh my gosh!
It's obnoxious.
It's like the
cold dose of reality is
like
obnoxious.
It's like the opening day tweets. I don't know. It's just the same things. But you expect now the like I saw somebody already put the Chipper Jones chopping response back. I said now this is good. So I'm all into instigation mode. Pat, if you have anything else that instigates the Phillies Braves and makes this tastier or otherwise, unleash the hounds.
Okay.
Do something. Because I
say less.
Once the minute I get Chipper Jones emoji sent back to me, you know, with Chipper doing the chop, I say unleash the hounds.
All right.
Unleash them.
They'll get it.
Have some fun. And download that Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You get the best in live in-game betting all tournament long. You got to be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So the other day at the game, by the way, Chunas and everything, I was learning about the cashing out.
Yeah, the cash out option.
I have not really been familiar with using that.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
But in baseball, they were going to cash out at 4-0.
Yes, because, well, Andrew had a parlay going of a seven-leg parlay, and the fifth one was the Phillies winning. The two that were remaining were the Padres had to beat the Giants, and Conforto had to get a hit.
See?
In the Phillies game.
But if you cash out, you don't. When you cash out, that doesn't count as a win, does it?
Sure. You don't win as much as you would.
No, but it does count as a win. So if you're in one of those parlays.
I guess it. I don't know who deems it. You made money, so you won, right?
Yeah.
So it does count as one of the legs of a parlay?
No. Yeah. Well, so say you have a five-leg parlay.
They'll adjust the odds.
And you have a chance to win $20. All if you win the first leg, they'll offer you a cash out, let's say like $1.
Okay.
You win the second leg, they'll offer you a cash out, let's say $3.
$3.
You win the third leg, now it goes up to about $8. The fourth leg will probably max out at about $14. And at that point, you have to decide if you want to hold off or if you want to take the $14.
So this is almost like it leads us into the discussion we're going to have now. And Connor, I need some people who consider themselves sports wagerers. Tanner into the conversation.
Oh, they shouldn't be hard to find.
There should be plenty of them that listen to the station to take part in a psychological study with the guys on this show. So you got to call us at 610-632-0975. Like four or five guys, ladies, that want to get involved in this psychological experiment, you can get online right now at 610-632-0975. We'll line up like four or five of you to take part in it, because the guys are going to take part in it too. Here's the deal. I saw this documentary clip that got sent to me by the guy who sets us up in Las Vegas, who handles making our reservations and things like that.
Okay.
There was this study done on the Vegas Strip. They offered 10 random men on the Strip, so this was men that they were offering, the option of taking $1,000 in cash or setting them up with a $5,000 bankroll where they had to sit at a high roller's table and bet a minimum of $500 a hand, and they would be required to play out a complete six-deck shoe of cards sitting at a blackjack table. So, guy comes up to you on the Strip and says, I'll give you a $5,000 bankroll where you have to sit at a high roller's table and bet a minimum of $500 a hand. So, a minimum of 10 hands.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Now, how many hands are typically in a shoe? In a shoe.
Well, I don't know how many were in the shoe. On the video, I believe there are four people at the table. So
you could potentially lose that whole $5,000.
Sure.
Okay.
So you're required to play it out until there's four guys at the table.
Okay.
You are required to play out the complete six-deck shoe of cards to cash out. Okay? So the first question I have for each of you, and just don't talk over anybody. Mm-hmm. So Bob, I'll address you first. I hope nobody knows the answer to this. So I'm going to ask you, what did the 10 subjects do? How many of them took the $1,000 cash and wouldn't gamble? Just put it in your mind. Put that answer in your mind.
Oh, okay.
That's one question that I'm asking you.
All right. It was 10 people?
It was 10 people.
Okay.
What percentage of them, so how many of the guys said, I'll take $1,000 cash and be done, thank you very much, and didn't participate in the process?
Okay.
Secondly, I want to know what each of you would do in that scenario. And then I want to think, what happens to the subjects that did choose to gamble? So those are the three things that I'm going to be looking to get an answer from you. So think of those answers in your head. So I'm going to run it by Dominic first in Allentown. Dominic joins us here on the Fanatic. Dominic, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, mate?
So Dominic, I got to ask you, on the Strip, there were 10 guys. What do you think, how many of the 10 guys said they were offered $1,000 cash or a $5,000 bankroll where they would have to go gamble $500 a hand? How many of the 10 do you believe took the $1,000 cash?
Maybe one weirdo.
Why do you call him a weirdo? What was your reasoning there?
If you're getting $5,000 cash, you can easily flip that into a lot more than $1,000.
Okay.
I'm a gambling man.
So you're a gambling man, and so Dominic in Allentown goes that direction. So I want to go first question to Bob Cooney. Bob, what percentage of the guys out of the 10, how many of them took the $1,000?
I'm going to say 3 took the $1,000 and ran.
Jamie, what? How many took the $1,000? 610-632-0975.
Given that the fact that they're in Vegas and it's likely a gambler that's getting approached changes things a little bit for me. My initial gut was 6.
That would take the $1,000 and run?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to stick with it.
Pat.
I said 2.
So you said 2.
Two would take the $1,000.
Jamie says 6.
I'm giving people rational credit here.
Took the $1,000. Yeah. Coach?
They're in Vegas.
I don't think any of them did.
Coachy.
Yeah, I think they all took the $5,000.
He's in a fighting mood today.
Okay, before I give you the answer, Ryan and Glenn Mills. Ryan?
What's up, JK?
How many took the $1,000 and ran?
Oh, none. In Vegas? None. Because everyone's going to Vegas to gamble.
Ryan and Glenn Mills and the coach are incredible.
Ah, nobody did, huh?
Not one of them took the $1,000.
Dummies.
I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked that not one of them took the $1,000 and said, I'm good.
Dumbasses.
I got $1,000 free. I'm walking away. I just want to see Justin and Cherry Hill. Justin, you now know that the $1,000 was offered to 10 guys. Not one of them took the $1,000. They all took the $5,000 bankroll to gamble. So, Justin, if I came up to you on the strip and offered you the same deal, are you taking the $1,000 or are you taking the $5,000 bankroll and going and gambling it?
I'm in Vegas. I'm there to gamble. I'm taking the $5,000. I'm gonna see what I can do with it.
So Justin is doing that.
Justin's just like everybody else.
Man, too many people go to Vegas to gamble. I'm shocked though.
You really did believe it. Nobody looked this up.
No.
And by the way, I tried to do some searches on it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
I found it when I looked under the person who sent it to me. I was able to find it. Coach, you said 10 for 10. You were not, and you didn't hesitate.
No.
Same reason. What are you thinking? They're on the strip in Vegas.
You're there for a reason. You're not in Vegas just to see.
But you get the $1,000. You can go gamble that however you want.
I'm surprised.
Because to me, I've played blackjack. Those dealers are good. I am out of my element at a blackjack table.
Why do you mean they're good?
They're good.
They're just executing.
Yeah, I know they are.
What do you mean?
They're good.
What do you think? They're fixing
it? There's not a skill. No, I'm not saying they're...
Per se.
They have the advantage over you.
Yeah, well, the house has an advantage.
Yes, of course, because
the
house.
Dealers don't have anything to do with it.
Well,
dealers
but they're great.
The dealers want you to win.
Yo,
they want you to win. The dealers want to get tips.
Yeah, sure.
But they're not fixing it.
No, I'm not saying it's fixed.
Jamie,
have you
ever been to a casino?
No, Pat, I haven't.
They're rooting for you to win.
That's not my game. So I'm not taking the money.
See, it's mine. Okay.
I'm taking the $1,000 and going, thank you very much. I'll go play something else.
I'm taking the $1,000 and going to Giada's restaurant.
I play blackjack. Blackjack is mine. I'm taking the $1,000 and saying thank you very much.
Yeah.
Bob, you're taking the $1,000 and saying thank you very much?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not a huge gambler in casinos. So I would take the $1,000 and probably go get a really good meal.
And then
go to Giada De Laurentiis' place, which I pass by many times in Las Vegas.
What would you do?
I'd probably spread it around. Roulette's my favorite.
See, the $5,000 though, you had to bet. If you were given this option.
I'm taking the $1,000. Yeah, absolutely.
Are we all taking the $1,000?
Here's the thing. I think it's easy for me to say, taking the $1,000 because I am the one who cashes out. I think what you have to think about, though, is how is your week and trip going to Vegas? If you've lost, you're taking the $1,000. If you're up on your trip to Vegas, because as everyone said, you go there to gamble,
then you get
greedy. Probably taking the $5,000 because it's just found money.
See, I'm taking $1,000 every time. Coach.
No, I would take $1,000.
Coach.
I kind of agree with Pat. It's found money. And I'm taking $5,000.
I never would have guessed it.
Yeah.
And Labar31 just tweeted me. He said, I'm a blackjack dealer. I'd take the $1,000.
And I thought 100% I would have bet that Pat and Jamie would have taken the $5,000.
Well, and I'm taking the $1,000, but I think it's easy for you to say, but in the moment, if you're up $2,000 that weekend, you might consider
it. It wouldn't matter to me at all. I would take the $1,000 1,000 times out of 1,000.
I would hate myself.
I would do it.
While taking $5,000.
I wouldn't even think.
So now 10 guys out of 10 10 guys out of 10 took the bet.
Come on, Bob.
10 guys out of 10.
How'd they make out, John?
They went in. I'm asking you.
I don't think well.
Okay. How many of them, I'm going to set the number at, how many of them walked away with more than $2,000?
Real quick, were they at the same table or were they at different tables?
They were at different tables set up, and there were four guys at a table. There were four guys at a table at the spot, but not everybody was playing. These guys weren't playing
each other. That's what. Okay, that was
so
the big question.
They were sitting at a four person table. They had four people set up at the table.
Okay.
How many of them made $2,000 of the 10? Walked away with $2,000.
I'll say two. Three.
I was going to go three.
None of them.
Coach?
None of them.
Four. Four walked away with $2,000 or more. No one walked away with more than $2,500.
Wow.
And how many busted?
Six.
Five. I would go with five.
Coach?
Six.
Five. Five busted. Huh. Completely busted.
So the safer play is
kind of
take the $1,000.
It's six out of 10 people did not make the $1,000 back. That's right. The whole thing. Six out of 10 people.
Adam just tweeted in. He says, blackjack has the best odds in the casino. Give me that bankroll every day.
Roulette has the best odds.
That's why I like roulette.
Roulette has the best odds in the casino. That's the best odds.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Roulette is the best.
If you play the outside, yeah.
Odd, even.
Yeah.
Okay. Black,
red.
Thing, you know, black, red, and then you get the, and the thing is.
I can't get in a roulette.
48, I think it's
48.5%. Yeah, because the of the best green, odds, zero,
best,
double zero.
Best odds in the casino are roulette. And the problem with people with blackjack is they're haphazard with how they play.
Yeah.
If you play by standard, if you play the same rules all the time and do the same things every shoe, you're better off. And I do that. Like, and I don't move.
And there's a variable of other people at the table affecting your
correct
hand in play, and that's too sucks risky for me.
And that's what sucks. I'm that's out a fun little exercise there, though.
I'm surprised you're shocked that me and Pat would take 1,000.
I thought you guys would take I thought you absolutely would want to play the game.
I'm too rational with money.
I like that, though. That's a good way to little
I've
learn
about
each
other. I've never had
$1,000,
so.
All right.
Can't wait to go to Vegas with you guys.
Gabe, I'll be in. Can't wait. We'll be in this fall.
I'll give you some
fall
WNBA
I'll
tips
be there in the summer, and then I'll be there in the fall.
We'll rake it in, buddy.
Hey, Gabe Kapler's in the linchpin. Oh, jeez. Get your coconut oil ready. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Simple reason why Natural Lawn of America has been so successful? Well, when Mike Missinelli and Anthony Gargano were telling you to use them, it certainly helps. But they're a locally owned company for over 30 years here in the area. Greener, weed-free lawn using their exclusive organic-based lawn care products. Plus Natural Lawn, reducing the need for chemical pesticide use by 85%. So it's safer for the entire family. So when Nikki Foles is running around in her new backyard here in Philadelphia, I'm going to trust that lawn to Natural Lawn, and you should too. But how did Natural Lawn really hook me? Come on, the wallet. There's a limited time offer. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program and you will get free seeding every year. So you're doing something that's good for your lawn for years to come. Free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. 800-FREESEED. They're going to be my lawn care company because I want my lawn to be great. I want it to look beautiful. I want it to be the envy of the neighborhood because Natural Lawn of America is going to give me greener grass and fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I love philosophical discussions like that. And I also like learning where I was completely wrong in my assessment that I was completely convinced that Jamie and Pat were going to take the $5,000.
You don't know me.
And you guys were absolutely no question.
No question.
I'm taking the 1,000. And I love the logic that you both used of there's no way in a million years, it's funny, as a couple of my buddies listening going, there is no way that you'd ever take the 5,000. Like, they know me, and they're like, there's no way you would ever, you'd take the 1,000. I said 1,000 times out of 1,000. I'd take the $1,000, and I'd gamble on my own.
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm a gambler, but I take the sure thing 10 out of 10 times.
Now, the weird thing is that there was something that bothered me, and young baller came in here.
Oh, we say young baller.
Connor came in. And he goes, what's $1,000 in Vegas?
I said, that's a lot of money.
I'm like, dude,
you kidding me?
I don't have $1,000. When I go to Vegas, I will do $1,000 over my four nights.
$1,000 is a ticket to go see Smash Mouth at the Palm.
I'll do $1,000 of gambling in four nights. Four envelopes will be $1,000.
Yeah, I'm assuming I'd be with my wife. I would take the K, put like $400 or $500 aside for a kick-ass dinner. Go to dinner, and then we'd go spend the other $500 on roulette or something we could play together.
I have so many places I could send you in Vegas for where you wouldn't have to spend $400 or $500 for a kick-ass dinner.
Well, I'm talking like we're
bottle service.
Oh, yeah, we're imbibing.
Okay, can I ask you, why are you drinking in Vegas when you can drink for free? Why are you paying for alcohol when you can drink for free?
It's a good
question.
That's
some theory. It's some theory.
But you can't drink for free at a steakhouse.
No, but you can drink for free the rest of the time that you're there.
Yeah, I feel like they don't put that much booze in those drinks.
Yeah, you got to have a good bottle of wine with dinner.
I got a pregame.
Oh, no. Not honestly, in Vegas, We do not drink in Vegas at dinner.
Well, that's you.
Because you can drink.
Yeah, that's not me.
You can drink for free.
Jamie and I will have our wine with our dinner.
Because you can drink for free.
Oh, no, I'm drinking.
Wow.
Yeah, I would.
You can do
I would,
both, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude,
we go both ways. We can do free.
See, I love like a cocktail. Like a specialty cocktail from a steakhouse that's like a $16, John. It's delicious.
Pat?
I understand your logic, John, I do. Okay, but when I'm on vacation, I'll order a Coke at the tables, and I'll order a Coke at dinner.
You do.
And I won't think twice about
it. See, now I will, what is the earliest you will have a cocktail in Vegas?
10 a.m.
You've woken up. I will absolutely have one at 10 a.m.
Yeah, time doesn't exist out there.
And I never in a million years, you couldn't, anywhere else on earth, you couldn't get me to have a drink with alcohol.
Are you a mimosa type of guy?
No.
Okay. Me either.
No. If Bob
gets down with those.
I will be if I'm playing
I like mimosas.
If I'm playing at the table in the morning.
Bloody?
No. I'm Tanqueray and Tonic in the morning.
Oh wow.
It's fine.
Rip it.
I'm fine with it. And you're right though. The alcohol content is definitely less.
Oh, it's weak. I feel like I could drink 20 of those and not feel anything.
20.
Let's put it to the test,
yeah,
John.
I'm about to do that. You never know.
Only way I'm drinking in Vegas before like 1 o'clock in the afternoon is if I am on a golf course.
What about the pool?
Oh yeah, we're at a pool. I was getting some tequila greyhounds when I was at the pool out there last time. Yeah, then the huge stupid cup that costs
really?
Way too much.
He is a hoagie mouth.
Yeah.
The pool bar, that was like the only thing I could get from the waitress. So I was like, yeah, screw it, whatever.
Josh in Audubon joins us here on The Fanatic. Hi, Josh.
What's going on, guys?
What's going on, brother?
I'm trying to get into this hypothetical conversation.
Yes.
As a casino dealer and casino manager for the past, since my life, since I've been 21, you'd be an idiot not to choose the 5K bankroll mathematically. Now, you know, so your hypothetical situation is there's four people total at the table, correct? Including the dealers. That's five.
Yeah, it was including the dealers, five people, yes.
Okay, so in that situation, there's going to be about 14 to 17 hands for the entire shoe.
Now,
okay?
I guess 16. I calculated 16.
You're saying,
it depends on how many people go on, like, right. Where they're doubling down or splitting and everything.
Again.
So
you have to add extra cards, exactly. So if you're disciplined enough to just play the minimum and ride it out, more times than not, you are going to finish with $3,500 or more. So in this hypothetical that you guys are spitting out, yeah, that's a very cold deck. Or people are just getting crazy and starting to bet, you know, $1,000 or $1,500.
Well, that's the key. Is that, by the way, the whole thing is, Josh, this is a bit of a documentary that's going to come out later about the psychology of Vegas.
Correct.
And I just got, but this isn't hypothetical. They did this.
Okay.
Like as part of the thing. So, I mean, this is we're looking at it as thing. I love it. How much do you enjoy that job? Because I've said to my wife, I think I would love to deal blackjack.
Believe it or not, blackjack is the worst game to deal.
Why is
nobody wants to be pumping cards for 8 hours a day.
And your feet must kill you, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. But it's just of all the games in the casino, nobody likes dealing blackjack the best.
Because it's the most work.
Yeah, exactly.
When and Josh, we need to come see you sometime. So you're going to send us an email and tell us where we can come see you?
I'll say I'm at the place where Beers with Bob is on Wednesday night.
There you go, nice. Josh, we're going to look for you on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
There you go, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, Josh.
That's awesome.
Good man. I mean, what he says makes sense.
But you have to be disciplined. You got to be disciplined.
Yeah.
If you just spent the $500, the $50, you know, you're going like $500 each time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You got 10 hands.
Yeah.
You're going to win some, you lose some, you win some, you lose some. It's not bad. It's not bad. You just got to be disciplined.
Do you guys bet over the minimum?
No. Not if I was in that scenario, I would.
Well, I mean, I normally.
Oh, no.
You're just a minimum.
No, I'm a minimum guy. I really am. I don't go, oh my gosh, I'm up now. Let's just start getting willy-nilly crazy. Uh-uh. Same bet, same betting pattern, same everything every time.
You sound like a lot of fun.
Let's just hang.
Some people like to gamble, some people like to win money.
From a guy who doesn't go to casinos.
The one thing is, it doesn't affect anybody else because I'm not talking to Bob at the table. I'm just there and I'm just doing my thing. And then when someone tries to engage, go, hi, how you doing? Good. Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. I could see Jamie being the guy that gets on the run.
Oh, yeah. And no, if I got house money, I'm making a big bet.
Do we hear Jamie at the table, though? Hit that!
I could see him yelling, winner, winner, too. Chicken dinner.
Yeah, I
get into it.
I sense that.
Alcohol content comes into play.
There's places where
that's
you want
to. That's fun as hell to me, though.
Blackjack table, noisy blackjack table.
No, I wouldn't do
place.
It there. But
it's
like roulette, when you have like eight people on a turn. Like, that's fun.
That's
when it's
different.
Communal. If you go to a craps table and somebody else wins you a hand, you're high five. Yeah, hell yeah, buddy.
Yes.
Like, that stuff's fun.
The loud blackjack table's not a fun.
Oh, see, I disagree. Like, I would agree with you, but if you're with your buddies. And you're the only ones at the table.
Oh,
it's a
blast. That's a little different.
It's a
craps is the most fun in a group environment.
The communal environment.
It's awesome.
It's
awesome.
Yeah, that is fun to watch.
All right, let's check out the linchpin. Oh, no. Coconut oil's back.
This is the linchpin.
Why is Gabe Kapler so freaking weird? And I defended him during his time here.
Did you really? You were
the leader.
Gabe bot?
I was the leader of the Gabe Pride
Why?
Parade. Because I thought he was overhated on. I didn't think he had enough of a team. Like, I thought he got the most out of what he had.
Wow.
Whatever. That's irrelevant.
Wow. Did you watch him manage games?
Not real.
Yeah.
His logic was terrible. His instinct was terrible.
I mean, he overachieved again with San Fran last year. Whatever. That's not the point of this. Why is he so weird? This is purposeful, right? Like, he tries to be this?
Yes.
There's no question in my mind. Yes. So, in his office in San Fran, it comes out that he has on the wall, win the time of possession. When did Gabe Kapler start managing football?
I hear you. I understand what you're saying. Makes sense.
I heard his explanation of it with a journalist out there.
Journalist?
He basically said, I want my guys to grind out at bats.
All right, what's on your minds?
And see pitches. Why do you have to turn that into a time of possession thing?
It's just weird.
It makes no freaking sense. It's baseball. If you hit a grand slam in one pitch and the other guy sees nine pitches and gets a double, who's more successful?
Kicking ass and taking names.
Like, stop trying to be so different.
I thought
you're weird. You're weirding people out.
I really did. I said I hated the hire from the day he was hired here in Philadelphia. Hated it. Thought it was going to be shtick. And it turned out to be shtick. All style, no substance.
Yeah, he's becoming like a caricature now, right?
Yeah.
With all this stuff. It's
time
thought
of
out. It's all planned. It's all... I am Mr. Analytics. I'm not going to get away from it, and I'm going to even double down on
it. We love it. I think he just physically is presenting beautifully right now.
I am so glad he's gone.
I'm so shocked to hear, though. I didn't know that you were like one of his defenders.
Well, when somebody I believe gets overhated on, I tend to defend them a little.
Wow.
I'm oddly a fairly rational sports fan.
We did lie to determine that's a lie.
No.
You're the rational sports fan?
I'm pretty rational.
Okay.
Bob's been with me the longest on a day-to-day basis.
Of all of us, as a sports fan, you're the least.
What?
Of all of us.
No, Egan's the least.
Egan's
rational.
The least?
Yeah.
Because you're saying about the nutcase?
You were mad. We couldn't talk to you this morning because of what Conforto did last night with the Mets. Like, you were legitimately mad. I hate that team. I'm like, yo, Pat. And you marched off into your office. Like, you're not rational.
I am rational. Like,
I can't talk to you after an Eagles. Okay. Yeah, well, that doesn't mean you can't talk to me in the morning.
He's a war criminal. He belongs in Guantanamo.
It had nothing to do with Conforto. I just don't like you, Bobby.
I think I'll put this. Here's why I put rational. Maybe it's a different explanation. I put Jamie is the least. Because Jamie can find the silver lining for the guys that he loves and the teams that he wants to win and defend more consistently than anyone in this room.
Egan thinks Adam Haseley's going to the Hall of Fame. If that's not looking for a silver lining, I don't know what is.
I mean, I might have put a piece of duct tape over one of the plaques of the Hall of Fame and put Haseley over. But whatever. I mean, who hasn't done that?
No, like, I'm passionate, but I view things rationally.
I don't believe that. I don't think
he's worked with me the most on a day-to-day basis. I'll let Bob be the judge here.
All right, I would say this. I do think in your base, you are rational. I think your passion sometimes takes your rationality to a maybe irrational sort of level.
I can live with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a fair explanation.
Yeah.
That's a fair explanation.
But like when Brett Brown, in my opinion, was a little overhated on. Gabe Kapler was a little overhated
on. Wait, who was
on.
Your first one?
Brett.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay.
Like people will talk about Brett like he's the worst coach ever to walk the face of the earth.
That's a fake. But to me, there's the fake narrative.
Some people on Sixers Twitter say he is literally the worst basketball coach ever. I'll do the Shaq thing.
Who?
People online. Sixers fans. Sixers fans.
I don't believe Sixers fans looked at Brett Brown being the worst coach in the history of basketball.
People hated him.
I hated him.
There you go.
As a basketball coach.
Why?
Because of the fact that he was maddening. Absolutely maddening.
He's a much better coach than you give him credit for.
No. He annoyed the crap out of me.
He annoyed you. What? That doesn't make him a bad coach.
No. But again, you're saying the worst coach. You took it to the extreme. You said worst coach of all time.
Yeah, people, you should see the way people talk about him.
I've never heard anybody call him the worst coach of all time.
Oh, people very much disliked
him.
Sixers fans. I don't know.
People on the internet said that.
Yes, those are people. Those are fans of the team.
If the Phillies lose tonight, people will say, see, same old Phillies. Don't throw out the irrational people. Don't take them into 95%.
More than 50% of Sixers fans disliked Brett Brown.
Yes, and I joined them.
And he wasn't that bad, is my point. So when people get irrationally hating on Brett Brown, I go, he's really not that bad, guys.
You can dislike,
and then I get called the sunshine up my ass guy.
But you can dislike food, you can dislike a restaurant and say it's not that bad, but I dislike it.
Yeah. But he's not a bad coach.
That doesn't mean you're not getting it. I can go. I can go to that restaurant, I dislike that restaurant. And you can say to me, but John, that restaurant's not that bad. And I'll go, okay. But I dislike it. There's a difference. You dislike something. I disliked Brett Brown. Talk about hate the face. I got tired of watching Brett Brown's teams be totally unprepared at the end of a game.
But he's a good looking guy.
But to execute.
At the end, he had to go. Yeah, absolutely.
No, at the end of games, he had to go. He couldn't navigate the end of games.
See, this is where it gets irrational. He was not that bad.
I didn't say.
He wasn't great.
He didn't navigate end of games well.
See, I think that's a broad brushstroke.
Yeah, there were flaws.
He definitely had flaws.
No question about it. I kind of lean on Jamie's side where there was more hate than there was more, well, he just wasn't that good. It got to be pretty hateful there towards the last couple of years.
Same with Gabe. And Gabe kind of overachieved if you looked at his roster.
When Brett Brown finally had a roster to play with, he won 60% of his games.
Yeah, that's good.
Which is good.
With the guys that are young, which is tough to do.
He was 136 and 91 in the 3 years that he had the roster to play with. So that's 60% of your games. The maddening part, John, and I, whether people believe it or not, I've said it on this airwaves for the last 2 years, it was beyond maddening that there wasn't adjustments, that the offensive scheme was what it was, and you didn't get the most out of Joel
his
Embiid.
His devotions to the rotations, the thing that here's what I'm going to do, here's what I'm going to do. His adjustments, his chess game was terrible.
My problem with Brett was
his chess game was terrible.
His decision making came at a glacial moving pace.
Yes.
He wasn't quick to make big adjustments.
And that's why
he had to go.
And that's why I dislike Brett Brown vehemently.
But he's not a bad coach.
I think that makes you a bad coach.
I wouldn't label him bad coach.
I think that's a bad coach that has to make changes.
You don't have success with players that are second and third years in the league at the rate they did. A quadruple bounce away and be a bad coach.
I will give the simple analysis in any coach. Brett Brown's available. Hello? Hi, yeah, I'm here. I want the job. Who's calling for Brett Brown?
I don't know.
Like, I couldn't believe the Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, Doug Peterson's got a Super Bowl ring.
He had a one-year contract. He had a one-year to
his timing was all messed up.
I'm not being a wise. I'm really asking because I wasn't a fan. Remember,
he quit. I think he quit 9 days into the cycle.
I want to see Doug with another team how he does.
Doug went 9 days into the cycle before he blew up the lunch with Jeffrey Lurie. He waited that whole extra week.
Yeah, I think four of the seven coaches were hired at that point.
If he had done the Monday after the season, I think Doug Peterson would have been offered a coach job this year. But he ditched out a Monday later.
I'd love to see him with another team to see how they do.
I think Doug will be back after. Doug will be a head coach in 2022.
Yeah.
I think he'll be a head coach in 2022. But Brett Brown, I don't believe anybody is rushing to hire Brett Brown.
you can say he's not a great coach. He's not a bad coach. And a lot of people say he's a bad coach.
Well, the premise was, as he said, worst coach ever. I don't know anybody that was saying that. Like, I don't know anybody.
You haven't been that deep in Sixers Twitter, then.
But the thing is, I don't do that.
They're fans of the team. I try to understand what they're saying.
People saying, well, that's like saying the people that will say if the Phillies lose the series to the Braves, they're going to go on Phillies Twitter.
Well, that's different after one baseball series.
They lost the series.
6 years of a head coach.
They lost it.
I get irrational with Brett Brown. I will admit that because I got sick of...
You got sick of his face?
It got to the point where he coached the series of his life against Toronto, and I give him the utmost credit for that.
He absolutely...
And he got brought back, and he was a disaster. And I just felt like he should have been fired mid-season last year. And last year wasn't a disaster?
Joel Embiid was moping around the court because they lost Jimmy
Butler. How did they do last year? Was last year a disaster or not?
Oh, my God. Was Ben Simmons playing in the playoffs?
Wait.
They were the sixth seed.
Jamie... Can I ask you something? Do you think that Joel Embiid would have been sulking around like a little bee if his coach was Doc Rivers?
Ben Simmons and Jimmy Butler were never going to work here.
This is where you get irrational.
Jamie, I'm being the rational one here.
Of course you are. You're online.
I'm fine. Jamie, you guys are making talking gibberish.
I know it's not gibberish. Do you think last year's Sixers team, if Doc Rivers was their coach, that Joel Embiid would have been sulking around and being a little bee?
Yes.
No, not with Doc Rivers. Absolutely do not agree with
you. Okay, that's fine.
I think
was upset that Jimmy Butler wasn't here. It didn't matter who the coach was.
Bob, you got the most experience with this.
Last year was... Look, if you're going to look at Brett Brown, I'll get to Brett Brown stuff. There were so many variables that happened. It's the Jimmy Butler thing. It's the changing of the roster. It's the injuries. It's... all of that stuff. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think it was time for him to go.
Yes.
And as I said to you before, I think in years down the road, if any of us talk to Brett Brown, he'll probably say, yeah, it was time. That had run its course.
What was he, seven years?
Seven years
for a coach in the NBA is...
Especially
that's a hell of a shelf life.
Yeah, what he saw
close
and all
to
that.
4 years was expected.
Right.
So... the Jimmy Butler thing, I think the bigger question isn't whether Joel Embiid would have been upset last year with Doc Rivers. I don't know how would that have all played out if Doc Rivers was here with Jimmy Butler. Because Jimmy Butler and Brett Brown didn't work.
That
became two entities, and people took sides, and J.J. Redick left because of it, and Joel Embiid took Jimmy Butler's side. And
it's an impossible question to answer.
It really is. Yeah, so I can't honestly answer that.
I would just say that I don't believe... I have not seen Doc Rivers preside over bitchery. I have seen Doc Rivers...
Apparently some of those Clippers didn't like him by the end.
Yeah, but I've seen his teams didn't... You didn't have any...
Well, the Clippers were a mess.
You didn't see sulky boy routine. You saw one guy who especially, who then went to Detroit, who's now in Brooklyn, who is had that reputation his entire career.
Sure.
That's exactly who he is.
Apparently, Doc wasn't as beloved as you think he was last year in L.A.
I didn't say he was beloved, but his teams knew how to conduct themselves.
How did the Clippers do last year?
Hated them.
A lot better than Brett Brown's. A thousand times better than Brett Brown's.
They didn't have Ben Simmons.
Well, you're asking a question.
All right.
He knows how to hate. His teams know how to put out at least a professional appearance.
See, now this is where it goes too far again.
Well, I'd say this is too far. Right.
I think it got to the point where he's a mediocre. He's a good developmental coach. When it comes time to win, you need somebody else.
How so backhanded.
But this is where you become irrational and you don't admit
I'm
it
not
to
irrational.
They were the sixth seed last year, and you can't admit that you're being irrational when you laugh at us saying that they were
I said
disaster.
He had to be fired.
Being the sixth seed is reason enough for them to be fired last year.
Joel Embiid is more important than any coach.
They had expectations to win the Eastern Conference, and they were the sixth seed, and you're laughing at us.
Joel Embiid moped around the floor the entire season last year.
Because his coach said, I can't coach Jimmy Butler.
There you go. And there you go.
And he was gone in a year.
Hey, draft lines tonight, Jamie and Devon. 6:00. Don't miss a minute of it. Hey, in the NBA, question is, do you want this life? We'll find out next on the John Kincaid Show. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Basketball is entering the final month of the regular season, and DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Pick any basketball team to win their next game, and if during that game the team of your choosing hits a three, you bring home $100 in free bets. That's 100-1 odds. Teams have been hitting threes at an unprecedented pace lately. So get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook before this offer ends. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code FANATIC when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANATIC for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's been that kind of week. Your wife's been nagging you. The job has sucked. And your boss, you hate his face. He's like Brett Brown in a close game. Tell him to stick it and get ready for your weekend.
It's the worst part of my Friday.
Then keep doing it. It's the best. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. That is an homage to my buddy Nick Cellini, who would do that every single Friday, last hour. That song would come up, and he would pretend to be the worst DJ. FM DJ you could ever be. Uh-huh. Kick it. Kick the boss right on the way out of the office. Cheered us with the cool shirt today.
It's a great shirt. Lithuanian, was that the 92 Olympics? I think it was.
It was the Dream Team year.
Yeah, it was the Dream Team. Right? It was the tie-dye Lithuanian.
The idea, though, that it screams patio with a beer in your hand.
That's where I'd like to be right now.
Doesn't scream patio with a beer in your hand. I'm sorry.
For you, Bob. Everything pretty much screams
Is it too early to do a little tease for Pat's Takes on Wednesday?
No, not at all.
I have a story about that shirt.
You do? Very good.
There you go.
Well, there you go. A little teaser.
Is it worth holding to Wednesday?
It's a little teaser. Yeah, right? Yes, we're going to keep that.
It better be good, Pat.
I can tell now if you want.
The 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. And for details, go to bagster.com.
John, you would agree, being in the industry as long as you have, a five-day tease better pay off. You know what
I
mean?
It's not going to.
It's irrational if you ask me.
It is irrational, Pat.
Well, I was going to do it. This past Wednesday. We just ran out of time. I told Andrew about it so that he came in and he wore it.
See, there you go.
But I can tell the story now.
Better pay off. I want to see it on Wednesday.
We're sort of got other things that are more
I'm not trying to be irrational here.
You do that. As we start this hour, though, I would just like to say one. This is one of the gentlemen I just answered on social media. Do you realize that less than 12% of Americans are on Twitter? At minimum, less than 12% of Americans are on Twitter. So when you say things about what people are saying on Twitter, realize that at the absolute minimum, and it's probably less than 10% of people are on Twitter because people have multiple fake accounts, less than 12% of Americans are on Twitter. So
what percentage of Sixers fans under the age of 50 aren't on Twitter is the better question.
Just 88% of Americans at minimum are not on Twitter.
A large piece of Sixers fandom is represented on Twitter
But 100% of Sixers fans are on Twitter.
100%.
Not true.
A lot.
Not true, but it's
a lot. Sir, I've done the math.
Yes, you've done the math. I want to end the week on a fun note here. Bob said something yesterday made me think. And I wrote it down because, as you know, now Bob has the greatest influence over me of any one of you jabronis. He said in passing yesterday that he would love to live the life of an NBA player when we're having a discussion. And it got me thinking, would you ever want that life? I know that I would never want the life of a Major League Baseball player, having seen the schedule that they keep across the course of a year, and the environment in a baseball clubhouse. I would not like it. I would not desire it. I wouldn't want it. A pro football player, I've been at enough training camps up close and personal. I've seen the physical toll it's taken on friends of mine who played in the league, coached in the league. Hockey might be fun, but unless you are great, you are not going to be set for life financially playing in the NHL. So if I give you just the big four, what life are you choosing of the four professional sports? But I can tell you personally, I think I'd rather live the life of a pro coach. And I'll also give you that as an acceptable option. A pro coach in the big four. But I can tell you from almost 30 years of doing this, I am not choosing to be a professional athlete. Because remember, I'm not saying you're going to be a star. I'm not saying you're going to be a LeBron or something. It's, do you want to make it to the pros in professional sports? Because isn't that supposed to be everybody's dream? And that's where we'll begin. The 9 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach, Eric Camille, and Dylan directing today, and Connor, as we get ready to start our weekend. So, Bob, no guarantees on what your career is going to be, but if you get to be a professional athlete of the top four, I'm thinking you're a basketball guy. That would be my assumption.
Yeah, baseball's a close second. Being outside, unpacking when you go on road trips.
That's a big thing, yeah.
It really is. Settling in, that's something that intrigues me. But, yeah, just everything about basketball. I love an empty gym in the morning, being the first one dribbling, being the first one to hear the sneakers squeak. I love shoot-arounds. I love before a game. I love pregame warm-ups. There's nothing about the game of basketball, whether it's from 10 years old on to the NBA, that I just don't love. So, yeah, I would choose that.
You were in every locker room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or not? You were in NHL locker rooms, too?
Oh, yeah.
You covered it all.
Yeah.
Jamie, which is your, of the big four?
Is golf bigger than hockey now?
Big four, no. Big four. Don't derail.
It's not derail. I would just choose a golfer over any sport.
That's one.
I would choose NBA. Baseball would be a close second. NFL would probably be last.
Because of the physical?
The non-guaranteed contracts and the high rate of injuries.
Yeah, that's good reason.
And brain damage.
I think it'd be last.
It's probably last for me. The MLB schedule is a grind. Like, I know you get to unpack and go on.
It's a grind.
Six nights a week or six times a week?
It is. Yeah,
that's a lot. Like, yeah. NBA players get a lot of downtime. They get to chill. They lead pretty damn good lives. NBA won for sure.
So money-wise, baseball, because you could be a mediocre player and make decent
big
money.
Big change.
Yeah. The problem is if you get sent down to the minors where you make no money, and I don't think I'm mentally tough enough to play baseball and deal with that amount of failure. I just don't.
You mean the 70% of failure even if you were great?
Yes. Yes, which means that I'd be dealing with 90% of failure. So with that logic, I'd go with basketball because I think long-term health, I'd come out better. And I think that there's so many leagues overseas where I could make money if I'm not in the NBA.
I love that curve there that you just gave.
Overseas.
The mental grind?
The mental grind of baseball.
It's tough.
The amount of failure in baseball.
The amount of downtime. It was funny. You brought up downtime.
NBA players have a lot of downtime.
Oh, they do.
During a game, baseball has so much downtime. And that, for me, someone who can't sit still, someone, you know, as you guys know, movies and all that stuff, I would find it really challenging, I think. The only reason I was a decent player was because I had a good mentality of a game and kind of saw it a little differently. I don't know if I could do that in baseball. It would be really hard for me to concentrate.
You'd have to be a relief pitcher, I feel like.
I can tell you this. The travel in baseball. I mean, it is five-star hotels. Almost every organization is five-star hotels. You don't carry your bags.
You hit white balls in batting practice.
You don't carry your own bags. Pearls, baby. That's what they like to use, the pearls. A new bucket of pearls. That's the old thing.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, and I've said it before, if I never had to walk into a baseball clubhouse again, I'd be glad.
Would you be a manager over all four?
Yes.
Would you?
I would be, no, of all four.
Because you have a longer career.
If you're good.
If you're I said if I could
you could coach for 5 decades.
I would love to be a hockey coach. I'd love to be a hockey coach, but the thing is, again, the money, unless you get into second and third deals, doesn't set you for life. But I think that I would love managing a baseball game. I would have so much fun managing
that. That would be my choice. Being an NBA coach seems really tough to me because you're basically, for a better or lack of a better use of a word here, you're babysitting people that make a lot more money than you and have a certain empowerment over you.
Well, any professional sport that is, right?
Well, not football. Now, 85% of your roster, you go, hey, all right, buddy, you can get cut tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess. Baseball would be hard for me.
Baseball kind of manages itself in a way.
Which would be hard
for
me.
But you know what, though? The managing of a baseball team, and Bob, I don't know how much you know from being in those clubhouses, it's managing the personality.
Yes, it's managing the clubhouse.
And I would find that exhausting. I would absolutely. That would be the exhausting part.
Baseball players
are
the worst of the four professional sports. It's a broad brushstroke, but if I had to broad brushstroke all four leagues.
I said to you, if I never had to go into a baseball clubhouse.
And there's a reason for that.
I'd be fine. Because it is it's as if very many times I find the mentality to be like guys are still in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have trouble watching 37,000 pitches. Over the course of a season. Yeah. That's an approximate number, but I do. I struggle, and again, it's whatever it is. I like to have to think on my feet like you do in baseball, football, basketball, hockey, where you're adjusting to on-the-fly situations. Baseball, it's more, okay, when this is going to happen, then I'm going to do this. I'd rather be the quick-thinking one.
I could see Bob coaching an NBA team.
I
would cast him in a movie as an NBA coach.
I would. I could not deal with the personalities of baseball. I don't think I'd be good at managing those throughout a long season. And I love hockey. You guys know that.
Yes.
But I'd hate being the coach of the Winnipeg Jets because I'm living in Winnipeg. So with that said, basketball coach, better locations, less games, less egos you have to deal with because it's just less players. Give me that.
Hockey by far the hardest coach, hardest sport to coach. Of the four.
Really?
By far.
Football's really tough.
There's one reason that you're not thinking of, though.
What's that?
And it is the absolute reason that it is 100% the hardest to coach.
Dealing with Canadians?
Goalie? Every other sport, you get to do a stoppage of play to make your decisions. Hockey, on the fly. You have to coach on the fly. You have to make personnel decisions on the fly. You don't get a timeout. You don't get it. You have to make them on the fly. Line changes. Situational matchups. You're calling line. You're doing it as the game's going on.
That's a good point.
The game's playing. It's harder to coach.
But football,
it is much harder to
everybody
coach.
Has, like 11 guys have to do their job right for you to be successful. And you do get a little downtime.
The majority of coaches in the NFL on game day, head coaches, are facilitators of their coordinators, not coaching players one-on-one. They facilitate their coordinators. They have input on what the coordinator's calling the plays.
Yeah, but for that play to be successful, it takes a lot more cohesion on a football field than it does on a hockey rink.
Yeah, but it's like during the game. Most NFL head coaches are facilitating their coordinators. Their special team coordinator, offense coordinator, defense coordinator. They're not calling the defense. Most of them don't call the plays. Most do not.
Yeah.
They're facilitating their coordinators. You did your job, offense coordinator. I'm orchestrating it all. I'm watching the game, and I'm saying, I'm in your headset, I'm going, I don't like that. We better be running the ball here.
But a good football coach does that. That is the game plan, leading up to the week, getting everything in place. Hockey, you more or less have your system that you kind of go with, so you're kind of set game to game. Like, I feel like in the NFL, it's the Belichick thing. Everything's a snowflake. It's a unique game plan for every team you're playing.
But in hockey, you are situationally having to match up your personnel versus the other team. And they are moving on the fly.
Yeah.
They're situationally jumping.
I mean, I played lacrosse my whole life, so it's the same thing, the fly. But
much harder.
There are stoppages.
Yeah, but a stoppage you can still change. But remember, and even in the stoppage, the road team has to put out their players.
Yeah.
Then the home team gets to do the counter move. You get that advantage at home. Home field advantage, home ice advantage is a big deal in hockey.
Yeah. There's strategy, absolutely. Hardest, though, I would still go to football. Just overseeing 11 guys on a field at a time, to me, you know, when you're watching 5, 6 hockey, whatever,
it's manageable.
That is, yeah, a 11
is
to me.
Saban
is
wearing a headset.
Wow. Not,
you, is Dabo wearing a headset?
Well, their coaching could be done during the week.
Correct. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
I'm talking about,
I mean,
that's why I said during the game. These guys don't even have to wear headsets during the game because they're facilitating.
Saban wears
their,
a headset.
They're facilitating. He'll put it on. He'll take it off. He'll put it on. Take it off. Take it on. Put it off. Go give it to me. Then I'll throw it down. Then I'll put it on. Then I'll sometimes take it off. He has the assistant that just he literally can hand it to the kid.
Yeah, but like
he doesn't want to.
If certain plays aren't working, you have to adjust. Like Saban's going to talk to his offensive coordinator,
say,
and Sarkisian,
like
Steve.
I
what's going
that.
On here?
Yeah, I want that.
We need to adjust here.
We
because
better sure as hell be running the ball here.
Yeah,
that's more of the line of we sure as hell better be running the ball. Or what are we doing here?
I've never coached hockey, so I don't know. But my gun to my head, I say football's tougher.
Hey, nobody should have to pay for one size fits all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you can only pay for what you need. Customize and save with Liberty Mutual. Brad in New Jersey wanted to jump in. Brad, you're on the John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. Good morning.
Good morning. I'll make it quick. If I had to pick one of the four sports, I'd be picking a major league pitcher. It kind of takes the workload of the 162 game off the table. You play once, maybe twice a week for 6 innings, and you get the best seat in the house to watch the rest of the games.
It's a, well, it certainly is a, it's less of a grind.
That's exactly why I couldn't do that. Because I need to be involved. I don't want to stand around 4 out of the 5 days.
I would hate it too. And the day before your start, you chart. So you're watching the game and you're charting.
Yeah,
so
you're specialized.
Pitches,
sometimes you're flying out to the next city before the team does.
You know, it's something I didn't realize until I heard Brian Wilson, the former relief pitcher, talk about why he became a relief pitcher.
I thought you were talking about Beach Boys.
No. Okay. The bearded closer.
Sure.
He was a starting pitcher in the minors, and he's like, you know, I actually went to them to become a reliever because it was after one of these games, I got shelled for 5 runs, and I'm out there having to shag balls because the starting pitchers would shag the balls during batting practice, and the relievers are over there just chilling.
So
he went to them, and he said, yeah, maybe a reliever. This isn't working out.
All right, Woody, Woody was holding on here. Woody, you're on The Fanatic. Good morning. How are you, brother?
Hey, gentlemen. It's good to talk to you again.
What's up, Woody?
So I hate to do this, to bring this back up. So, Jamie, you know I'm coming for you. I apologize for bringing this back up.
I didn't even want to get to it in the first place, Woody.
I know.
I've had it.
All right, so John brought something up. A couple years ago, students of mine did a project, and he was right. I think it's 15 to 12% of the global population is on Twitter.
Yeah,
so
it's less than
I just saw 22% of adults on another study.
That's not true. By the American citizenry, American Twitter accounts, we can tell. Just by citizens in America.
Okay, whatever. I'm not going to argue.
I mean, how many people have Twitter? Plus, we don't know how many people have Twitter. You could have 7 accounts. See, one person can have 6 accounts, 5 accounts. Kevin Durant has multiple Twitter accounts. So we don't even know how many of those numbers are true.
Brian Colangelo only had 5.
Exactly. But the most important part aspect of that is, one, Twitter is the extreme, and you're arguing with the extreme of Sixers fans, and John brought that up.
I've heard people in this radio station, Woody, say he's a terrible coach.
Again, and that goes into my next point. I think we need to be mutually exclusive. I am not talking about Brett Brown, the man. Brett Brown, the man, always nice. Every
That's irrelevant, yeah, to his coaching.
But Brett Brown as a coach, he was not good, Jamie. I have people in my office, co-workers, clinicians like myself that will defend Brett Brown, and I say he's not a good coach. He was not the coach that was going to get us a championship. And I guess that is because, again, this is correlated with the process, so in such a way we have to win a championship, and he wasn't the coach for
Bob, you thanks, Woody, have a great week.
And I agree with
those are two separate things.
I'm just saying he's not bad,
but it's the absolute worst, though, was the premise.
Ask Anthony about Brett Brown at 9:49.
The absolute worst coach ever in the NBA, because that's what you said.
A lot of Sixers fans hated Brett Brown as a coach. People I've talked to on this radio station. People didn't like him.
Guess what? That's not. You cannot like him again. You cannot like him and not think he's the absolute. He's not. Anybody who would say he's the absolute worst coach in NBA history is a joke. Don't take their opinion.
He's not even
it
the
doesn't
worst.
Mean anything.
He's not even the worst Sixers coach.
Correct.
Johnny Davis,
we
Eddie
terrible
Jordan.
Terrible Sixers coaches. He's not even on the pantheon of that. But Bob always.
No,
is
I'll
good.
Give that to Eddie Jordan
because of you. Because of you, I'm always careful when I take my notes about words, because you always say absolutes.
That's where this argument's like going, and that's why I kind of tuned it out a little bit. Like, worst coach ever, I don't know. Anybody that says anything like that, it's too extreme. It doesn't make sense.
I don't relegate, though. I don't even give, when I hear someone use the extreme, immediately it's tuned out and I disregard it because it's stupid. And I don't give it's not rational. It's not thought out. Anybody who uses extremes, the minute I read it, the minute I hear it, it is ignored.
But that doesn't mean people didn't...
It is completely ignored, and it is not the average person's opinion.
But that doesn't mean a lot of people didn't feel that way.
But that's the extreme person's opinion.
I think you're the best radio host you've ever had.
That's terrible.
In the last 3 months.
In the last 3 months.
There you go.
From Atlanta.
There you go. There we go. In the last...
I'm just telling you, more people hated him than you probably realize.
Oh, I would say if we took a poll,
exactly
that the majority. I would say 55 to 60% that people. Now you have to careful how you word it. Do we word it say he was a bad coach?
No, just say was Brett Brown a good coach?
Worst,
and I bet 70% say no.
Worst coach ever.
I was using an extreme.
Well, that is Twitter.
But what I'm saying, if Bob put up that poll. Is Brett Brown a good coach? 70%, I bet you, would say no.
I think the key is Twitter is not real life.
It's not just Twitter.
Real life, but it's not real life.
John, we took calls for 4 or 5 years about this guy, and people didn't like him.
And guess what? Here's the thing. The person who would say that he was the worst ever is the person on that is the extreme person. And guess what? I bet they called this station. I bet you they did call over the years because a lot of times radio shows just take callers.
If you're
the person that would tweet that, you're the person that would call a radio station and say it.
You're hung up on the extreme I used. A lot of people thought he was a bad coach. Forget the extremists.
And I joined them.
Yeah, okay. And he wasn't. Them. I'm telling you, he wasn't a bad coach. He wasn't a great coach.
I joined them.
But he wasn't bad.
Well, it's funny. If you would have taken the feel of the city after the triple doink, I don't think people are saying he's a bad coach.
Exactly.
He goes into the next year, you have all the things that go on, you get swept,
yep.
He's a bad coach.
That was the greatest moment of his career was that Toronto series.
Yeah, he coached well a great series. And Nick Nurse is a great coach, he went toe-to-toe with him.
Nick Nurse is a great coach, and he did a great job. Remember, nobody pays for one-size-fits-all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance. You only pay for what you need. Customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance. Bob's been marveling at skilled craftsmen. Plus, Jamie is going to torture us all heading into the weekend. Not with Brett Brown takes, with wide receiver names.
My take was he didn't suck.
And it's going to make you cringe. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. In-game wagering, well, let's just say that's one of the things that I've been introduced to when I came home and was allowed to pick up that Parks Casino Sportsbook app, being a resident of Pennsylvania, being able to take care of business. In-game wagering is fantastic. But how about in-game wagering during a golf tournament? How about like hole-to-hole wagering? It's the kind of things you can do when you've got the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. I know you're going to be sitting in front of the television watching the Masters all weekend. How about a risk-free bet up to $500? Yep, risk-free bet up to $500. It's like fantasy sports in the palm of your hand. Use parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code FANATIC, and you can get that home field advantage by using that $500 free wager. You're going to be watching the golf. Immerse yourself. It'll be just like you are one of the patrons at Augusta. You're going to love the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Easy to use, incredible bonuses every day. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here in The Fanatic. Somewhere in the world, is there anywhere where service gets worse? If I was to say to you, a service that we get
in this country.
So many.
That continually gets worse. Continually gets worse.
Let's see. My newspaper delivery keeps getting
worse. U.S. Mail. U.S. Mail.
Oh, yeah?
My dad was a mailman.
I got Mr. Bill in my neighborhood. He runs a tight ship, man.
Well, he doesn't make the decisions for the U.S. For the U.S. Mail.
And I saw him yesterday. I said, hey, Mr. Bill, I think your dog treat is working. And he said, that's the point.
Do you use informed delivery?
What the hell's that?
Do you know what it is?
No.
I use informed delivery. Coach, do you use informed delivery?
What is it?
Pat, do you use it?
I have no idea.
Nobody even knows what it is.
Nobody knows what it is?
No.
It's a United States Postal Service thing where it tells you what is coming.
Oh, I got that when we changed addresses.
It tells me what's coming to my mailbox.
And I found it so annoying that I unsubscribed.
Oh, Donna uses that.
It tells me every day what's coming in the mail.
Why do I need an email telling me what I'm about to get in my mailbox?
Because you see if anything gets lost in the mail. If something doesn't get to you, when something gets lost.
I'm paperless on most everything.
Well, it comes on an email. It's paperless.
Yeah, but I didn't need paper on top of, that's too much for me.
My bills,
my mortgage, my car payments, my credit cards, they're all paperless.
But it just tells you if anything's coming in the mail so you know, so that way it doesn't get lost. Well, now they're getting rid of this great thing. You now can't get any. It's being discontinued.
It's so great that none of us know what it was.
It's being discontinued in the summer of 2021.
I got to be honest, I hated it.
Why?
I was getting an email for something I was about to get in my box. I wasn't anal like you where I was checking to see if something was missing.
It's an email.
It's annoying.
But you asked for it.
I didn't. When I changed the address, it signed me up for it, and then I unsubscribed.
Yeah,
or maybe it was like a check.
To us.
It was a checked box, maybe on the change of the address form.
Because you have to sign up for it.
It must have been.
You have to opt into it.
I must have not opted out of it.
It freaked me out the first time. Like Donna said, Janice Granger coming in the mail today. I said, oh, school, get in touch with me. She goes, no, I just got an email. What? And she said, yeah, I can see it.
You can see that's coming every
day. It was too much for me.
And especially
because I love
the surprise of the mailbox.
Exactly. I
do.
I love it.
Oh,
look, I got a letter. I got something from somewhere. Like, cool.
Something is coming in the mail today.
Somebody invited me to a golf outing. Wow.
I don't need to know that.
Oh, you got that invite in the mail, did you?
All right, we have a few things we got to get to.
Michael must have lost my.
But I want to get to this first. It was promised yesterday that Jamie Lynch was going to have, hopefully it'll be a more comical view.
This is sick and torturous by you.
The last decade of the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver drafts.
This is the linchpin.
For the record, this is hell, and you're making me do it against my will,
yes,
John.
Yes, it was. Yes, early
game. All right, so I saw a tweet the other day, and this goes back 20 years, but when you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers, you think, damn, they got an eye for wide receivers. Just listen to these names they've drafted over the last 20 years. And mind you, not a lot of these guys were even first-round picks.
Okay.
Antonio Brown, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, Santonio Holmes, Juju Smith-Schuster, Martavius Bryant, Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, Plaxico Burress. Pretty good damn grouping of wide receivers that you drafted.
Excellent.
I can't imagine that a team in the NFL did better at wide receivers.
I wouldn't think so.
And most of them were, I think, third-round picks.
Yeah, like a lot of these guys weren't even first or second.
I think the only first one was Santonio Holmes.
You want to do the Eagles now, you sick, sick man?
Yeah, I do want you to do this on Friday.
So
do
I only
have a laugh track ready, Pat, or anything?
So I only did a decade because I didn't want to go back 20 years because I don't hate myself that much.
Okay.
I'm just going to buzz through them. Stop me when you hear somebody good. John Hightower, Quez Watkins, Jalen Reagor. Kind of.
I'm out on Jalen Reagor.
That's an uncooked pie.
I'm sitting there with Jalen Reagor trying to figure it out.
J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Shelton Gibson, Matt Collins, Nelson Agholor, Jordan Matthews, Josh Huth, Marvin McNutt.
I love Marvin McNutt.
Compare the two lists, John.
Oh, my gosh.
That's unbelievable.
And the reason this came up was because over the last decade, the Eagles have spent 15.8% of their draft picks on wide receiver.
The biggest percentage of any position, right?
Of any position, and they can't get it right.
I heard on Cuz Radio the other day, Cuz utter the words that, yeah, well, I'd get a Quez jersey before I'd ever get a Reagor jersey.
Whoa!
That's a hot take.
I'm still all in on Jalen Reagor
sure
potentially being more than serviceable.
Yeah.
And Quez Watkins showed something on the one play last year. There could be, without Doug Peterson, these guys may show something.
I'm excited for. Last year's offense was vanilla, awful, and torturous. I can't wait to see a new, fresh look. And did you catch Sirianni the other day talking about wide receivers?
I watched all of it.
That guy loves ball, John. But what he said about the wide receivers was right.
I got to tell you, I watched the entire thing. He tries too hard.
He just loves ball. He's a football nerd.
But he tries too hard.
That may be. But
it feels contrived.
I don't think it is.
It feels so contrived.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go. It feels weird.
It feels contrived. I'm not saying that it is.
Right. I think it's more of a, I'm bad at this. I'm just going to be me. And being him is that excited.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to think of a great coach that reminds me of him.
I don't know.
In any pro sport. None. None.
But it doesn't mean it won't work.
That's the very, very optimistic view of, we know great coaches in sports don't conduct themselves like that. Could he be the start of a new trend? Sure. He looks like somebody hopped up on Mountain Dew. Like, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. He's unnerving to me.
I took that as a personal attack.
I hear you.
He's unnerving.
I know nothing about him, so I can't.
He's unnerving. I only know what he's showing us. And every time I see him, when they put him on camera, put him in a mic, he's unnervingly hopped up.
I know, but his job isn't to be on camera. His job's to coach a football
team. Yeah, the funny thing is, if he turns out to be a good coach, we'll laugh at this and say, oh, this is great.
Well, it's like,
and if he can't coach, then we're going to make it a point of emphasis of why he can't coach.
It's why I read to you the day the Monday we came in after his first press conference. And I decided, look, I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
And I read you the quotes from Andy Reid's first press conference, what the Daily News and Inquirer said about him. And they made him out to be a cartoonish buffoon. And he ended up being a great coach.
Yeah, sure. Maybe the best ever.
I do not know a great coach who conducts themselves like him in the public eye.
Sure. I don't either. I can't think of anybody.
I can't think of one.
I mean, I find John Gruden cartoonish.
Yeah, but not... And just trying to sell it so hard about how excited he is and how much I'm into it.
I mean, Sean McVay's kind of like that.
Sean McVay's not like that at all.
But like his
not
enthusiasm for football is...
But he's not spazzy. He's a robot.
Yeah.
Sean is a robot.
Well, the Eagles should go hire whatever scouts wide receivers for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, do you think that's the worst list in the NFL?
It has to be. I would be hard-pressed to find many more. Maybe a Jets. And this torturous walk through Eagles wide receiver draft history was brought to you by PropSwap, John. PropSwap is America's exclusive number one app to buy and sell sports bets, and PropSwap is a huge advantage we all use to find the best odds in the country. So download the free PropSwap app today. And John, if you had for example, a Justin Rose ticket, and you didn't think he was going to win.
Now you are just...
You post that on PropSwap, you can cash out fairly large.
Here's why I would sell it. Because of the wire-to-wire leaders at the Masters is very rare.
I
want to lead for four rounds.
But what I saw yesterday after the round, it is unheard of that somebody outside of the top 10 after day one doesn't win the Masters. So somebody in that top 10 currently this morning is likely going to be the winner.
Ooh.
And you know who number 10 was?
Number 10 was Jordan Spieth.
Hey, Pets Plus Natural, locally owned and operated for over 30 years with the area's largest selection of all natural pet foods, treats, and supplies. They're going to keep your furry loved ones happy and healthy. Visit PetsPlusNatural.com. So, you see what the guys are building out there?
Yeah, it looks good.
Everything.
Okay, but...
I don't know what that area is going to be, but it looks good.
It's a lot of drawers.
It is.
A lot of cabinets.
Yeah. Well, you know,
what's it all for?
Jamie and I put our headphones away every day.
Well, we have a locker for that, don't we?
Soon to be an office.
You can't put them in. It has to be in a locker, and we're going to have our own lounge.
I'm going to keep a cup, a thermos.
You are? Morning show lounge? You're going to do that, too?
Yeah, and a six-pack.
Like, I think we have a cubby on the wall or something for
our shoes?
I just don't. I don't get it. It's a lot of drawers, Coach. There's a lot of drawers and a lot of cabinets.
Maybe we're going to get supplies like pens and paper and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Post-it
stickers. There's a lot of chores. Pictures and put it on social of all of the cabinets. There must be at least, what do you think, 20?
Yes.
At least.
And I think we need desk space.
Hmm.
We need more desk spaces.
What are we putting in those cabinets, Coach?
No idea.
No?
I have no idea what's going to go there. It's unbelievable. Now, by the way, I asked if the Eagles list was the worst list, and Pat said, well, maybe the Jags would be worse.
Yeah, the first name I thought of was the Jags.
I'm contesting that because I think the Jags is going to end up being better. You got him?
Sadly, it is. Yeah.
Tell me why.
Laviska Shenault, Colin Johnson, DJ Shark, D.D. Westbrook.
Yeah, they're already better.
Neil Sterling.
You can stop at Shark.
Marcus Lee, though.
Allen Robinson. Ace Sanders, Justin Blackman, Cecil Shorts.
Justin Blackman. Yeah,
Allen Robinson's awesome. He'd be the best wide receiver.
Can't even draft better than the Jaguars. This is sad.
I told you I didn't want to do it. John
ruined
forced
my Friday.
Me to.
Way to go into a Friday on a good note.
Yeah, sweet.
Way to go, Jamie.
So,
John's sick.
Let's be honest here is Bob, Pat Egan got called out. He got called out on social media.
Which
and
time?
We need to deal with this.
Well, I think we do, Pat. I really want to have your back on this.
Because, you know, is the there's sometimes the faceless social media bullies people pay attention to.
Yes.
And it happened here, Bob, right? I mean.
Yeah, Pat told me the story, and I kind of like wanted the big brother go with him and settle this once and for all. You know, like, let's go. Let's go take care of it. And some jagaloon out there who plays in Pat's hockey league decided to namelessly and facelessly call Pat out over something that his team did had nothing to do with Pat. It was something that the higher ups on the team decided to do. And this guy called Pat a very, very
hurt my feelings.
Bad name.
And it's a
I can't
faceless,
even say it over the air.
Faceless.
It's not necessarily faceless because he has a picture of Chad Kroger from Nickelback as his profile pic. So.
Oh, there it is.
So he's very...
And said that word of Pat's bleepness was traveling far and wide.
Well, we have a very popular show, so some of that probably has leaked out by now.
Seriously, you're in a hockey league with the
really?
Dude. You have a problem with him. You're going to be on the ice with him. Yes, why are you taking it up namelessly and facelessly?
Like, Pat, what's going on?
We lost pretty badly to this team. So this rando tweeted at me last week. Word on the street is Pat Egan was humiliated on the ice last night. And I responded to him because I feel like if you be honest and self-deprecating at times, you can turn some people in your favor.
Right.
And I said, you heard correctly because there's no hiding it. We got embarrassed. So we played a couple of guys that are way light years better than our league. And they play up in a couple leagues. And when the captain of our team found out about it, he emailed the league. The league reversed the score, gave us a win.
Good.
And then kicked the guys out.
Because they're playing lower than they should play.
Now,
right.
I didn't advocate for it. It was a frustrating game. I didn't advocate for this, and I'm not the captain of the team.
And so, you had nothing to do with it.
No, and also, I'm very honest about my quote, hockey career or lack thereof. I'm a locker room guy. I'm not good at the sport. Painfully honest
you
about that.
You enjoy playing, though.
Yeah, well,
no, but you do. You enjoy playing.
I like playing. Right. And I'm other. If I know you on the ice, I'll chat with you. But other than that, I keep to myself.
Like you'll taunt Mertitas.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and I knew a couple
and Jason is a legit.
Yes.
Jason's legit.
So I'll chirp him. And I've had it before where his teammates go back at me and I go, dude, we know each other. It's fine.
Right.
And I actually know a couple guys on this team. So I was talking to them. But other than that, no one came up to me. No one said a word. Including this guy.
So they're faceless little...
So this guy goes, LOL. Then
Whoa. A grown man used LOL?
Hey, I use it sometimes. In a mocking fashion.
A grown man used LOL?
Are you saying I'm not a man?
Is it LOL?
We've proven you're not a man.
I'm
you have
man. I'm 40. Then you're 39.
He went, LOL. Then you complain to the league. Wow, you're a bigger punk than I ever imagined. So I informed the guy. But I'm not the captain. You do realize that. I'm a slap bleep fourth liner who's lucky to be on the email chain.
You know who's the bigger B? The guy who is facelessly going
after
you.
Yeah, it gets worse.
They can't put his name on
it. So it gets worse.
It gets worse.
Okay.
He goes, I think it's funny that you're such an insufferable P. On the ice, the word is spreading far and wide. Word is spreading of this. I'd be ashamed to be associated with a team that cries to the league about getting their asses kicked. But then again, I'm not a slap bleep fourth liner. I don't know if he is or not because he's hiding behind a Twitter account.
Yeah. What a dude.
So this is a guy who takes.
Can I meow? I'll just meow. Dude, you are a meow.
Well, this is a guy whose life is C-League, low-level C-League hockey.
And he's hiding out. He can't even confront you to man.
Guaranteed he will not say a word to me next time we play.
I mean, honestly.
Or if he does, it'll be from the safety of the bench. Not that I'm going to do anything because
how much
are work
tickets?
Next day. I'll get you tickets at will call.
All right, I say the next time you play this team, we just go and watch.
I got to tell you this. Being around hockey as long as I have, I'll go to that game, Pat, and I will guarantee you I'll be able to tell you who the guy is. I'll be able to tell you who the guy is just observing their team.
I was a little taken aback because I'm not.
Here's what I'm guessing.
I'm not this chippy guy on the ice.
I'm going to do a little psychological study. Does he have his own embroidered hockey bag when he walks in?
No.
I'd be looking for it. Does he have
my PI?
Does he have the logo of his beer league ice hockey team on his hockey bag? Does he have anything? Like, I'd be looking for things, and I'd be watching these Jagaloons, as you say. I say Jack Wagons, but it's the same family. I think I could tell you who the guy is.
I guarantee that whoever this guy is, he is better than me, but that's not saying
much. Who cares?
That's not saying much.
He's not better than you.
It's the fact that you could have said anything to me on the ice when we played and we were getting destroyed, and you didn't.
No,
and I wasn't chirping at these guys. I wasn't saying a word to them.
This is Kevin Durant syndrome.
A little bit, yeah.
This is big talker, but can't confront people face to face. He's going to use faceless accounts to argue with people on Twitter. By the way, gentlemen, here, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
I've heard of
real
that school.
Dummy.
Big listener to the show.
We have Ivy League listeners? That's the biggest story.
Why can't he get into a good college?
Gentlemen, sent us a note here. I don't want to.
I couldn't even get a Dartmouth.
Yeah. This is always
obviously
great.
Obviously joking, sir.
Joe is a professor at University of Pennsylvania.
Does it say what?
And he is converted in business.
Oh,
business.
In Wharton?
Wharton, yeah.
What a dummy.
In business. no, but it's not Wharton School.
Oh, it's not. It's the undergrad.
Business thing, but it's so.
Okay.
But he says, though, he tells his all the time, and they teach social media and social media for business. And he says, one of the things that we always begin any discussion with in our class is we disregard anything that says people on Twitter are saying. It is the number one thing that we teach in our classes for people in business about social media. People on Twitter are saying is the number one thing, and it is on my syllabus.
But this guy swore that the word of me being an insufferable pee is spreading far and wide.
Yeah, get this guy. This guy's an idiot. This guy's
far and wide.
We can't compare business.
No, I'm saying is
to Sixers fandom.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about Pat.
We're talking about Pat. What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought we were looping that back to the extremism on Twitter.
Oh, no, James, that's done.
Oh, okay.
No, James, move on.
All right.
It's done. We're talking about a happy topic.
We're
getting bullied.
Trying to have a fun weekend. You want to bring us down.
He's saying, disregard people who are the faceless jagalos.
Yeah.
Disregard.
I wish people all had real avatars.
Don't take a... It's not what people are saying. It's not what people... It's ridiculous nonsense and people who won't put their name to stuff most of the time.
You say that now, but I got a game tonight. And if I get cold and insufferable
pee... But it's not him, right?
Then word is spreading far...
It's not him, right?
No, it's not him.
Well,
I was actually in a store yesterday and a guy brought it up. So it is spreading far and wide. Donna was talking about it.
Word's getting down to Delaware as we speak.
That's interesting, though. It just shows you, though, is that you can't... You can't worry about eggs. You can't worry about... A guy who would email you... And be like a jerk like that, faceless, is so pathetic.
I thought he was trying to tweak me by saying, "Oh, you know, you got destroyed," and expecting me to come back at him. And I was
It's so pathetic.
You heard it correctly. And then he just kept coming back at me. It hurt my feelings.
Is Anthony coming in or not? Natural Lawn of America with greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed. Natural Lawn of America. Brings you the Anthony Gargano's getting ready to come in. He's walking in here now. He does not look happy. He does not look happy.
Oh, he's looking at Jamie.
He does not look happy.
Epic.
As we get ready. Natural Lawn of America, we love you. Check out 1-800-FREE-SEED. 1-800-FREE-SEED. You get free seeding every year. Okay.
What is it? What was it?
Because it's a Friday. You look unhappy. You look unhappy.
Did he really say that Gabe Kapler
Overachieved here.
Always an overachiever.
Look at his roster.
Did he really say that?
There was no overachieving ever done by the Phillies. Phillies haven't overachieved in a decade. Phillies in
that roster was terrible.
Phillies haven't overachieved in 15 years.
The fact that he was a 500 club was impressive.
That's not overachieving.
When your expectations with that club are...
Anthony,
I didn't say he was good.
Wrecked Reese Hoskins. He was a wrecking machine.
Rock.
He buried them. Are you out of your mind? And wait, I'm sorry. Wow. So you watch Doc Rivers all year long, and your take is Brett Brown was we were too hard on Brett Brown?
My take was Brett Brown is not awful as a coach. That's it.
You watch Doc Rivers this whole year, and your take
Doc has nothing to do with it.
Yes,
Brett Brown was not a terrible coach.
It does, because Doc Rivers has coached Embiid and Simmons and this team. So you now have someone to compare him to.
Yes, and they're further along in their maturation process in the league. You know nobody wins.
Six months
in the
later.
First 5 years in the NBA, nobody wins unless you're added to
make everybody happy here. Brett Brown had a bad year last year.
Horrible.
He had a bad coaching year last year.
Terrible.
If you stopped his career at the Sixers after the triple doink,
right,
you might say, okay, he's not a bad coach.
Right.
And I think
until his answer for the bubble is, let me make Simmons a four.
Oh.
I mean.
Not the best.
Simmons
track.
Was out. He had to put Shank in.
When he came back from the, when they came back in the bubble, that was his.
He was grasping at straws at that point. He had nothing left.
We're not going to grasp
at straws.
Operative word.
He wasn't a bad coach.
We're going to listen.
I love the guy. Love him. But
we're going to listen to Cuz Radio today.
Oh, my God.
With Chernus.
Oh, God.
I promise. Hey, don't miss it. Hey, Pat. Hey, Coach.
By the way.
Hey, Connor. Hey, Dylan.
1, 2, 3. That's what a hockey coach does. For the game.
That's not how.
Give me a break. I sat with Ken Hitchcock. 1. Power play! Get your head out of your ass!
Ridiculous.
Oh, he fired him up today.
Get some jam out there.
He is. Hey, be listening. Cuz Radio is coming your way next. I just got a twister. There we go. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jamie. Everybody, we'll see you on Monday at 6. John Kincaid, have a great weekend.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.